Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple of dudes who like to sit around and drink novelty beverages and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
That's correct. Today we have Sprecher, a fire-brewed cherry crayon gourmet soda.
It is definitely gourmet. Cherry crayon.
I don't
now,
understand.
Hold on. Prediction. Is it going to be cherry crayon cola or just cherry cranberry? What do you think?
I don't know. I don't actually know what applying the word cola means.
Well, it means it tastes like Coke, but with cherry cranberry flavoring.
Okay.
Or is it just straight up fruit soda?
Let's go with Coke with, let's go with cherry Coke.
Let's find out.
Here we go.
The big reveal. Jordan taking a swig.
Wow. This is fucking delicious.
Yes!
It is so good.
This is a first!
It's so good. I'm gonna drink six of these.
Yes!
What does it taste like? I have no idea. No clue. Right now, all I can experience is joy.
I will open mine up during our first clip, but first, let's get to an out-of-context drop of Alex Jones.
Before we do that, let me ask you a question about this show.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Do you remember how we're professionals at this, apparently?
I don't.
Oh, fair enough. Good point.
Listen, I know a lot about Alex Jones.
Do you?
I do.
Can we take that again?
From the top. There's a twist to this show.
Is there a twist?
I know a lot about Alex Jones.
I don't know anything about Alex Jones. Let's get to an out-of-context drop!
And liberal. And liberal! I'm liberal! I rule! And liberal!
Also,
all right, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a pretty good out-of-context drop. I'd like to give a shout-out.
Is he also doing riddles with fucking Frodo in the dark?
That sound like some sort of weird troll being.
Yeah.
I'd like to give a shout out to someone who is not a troll being, ladies and gentlemen.
That is some great, great segue.
This is a
right
first honorary policy wonk, because I don't know if this guy donates to the show, but I've been putting off writing back an email to listener Brian for quite a while. He sent me what may be the world's greatest email.
Okay.
Really sort of lifts my spirits. Whenever I feel like it doesn't matter that we're doing the show, I can take a little look at this email and be like, all right, that's very reassuring and I appreciate it very much, to the point where I've been trying to write him back for about 2 weeks and I can't. I sit down and I feel like an asshole. So instead of writing you back, Brian, I'd like to thank you publicly and give you an honorary policy wonk status.
I'm a policy wonk.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard, Brian.
You don't need to give
Brian,
money to be a policy wonk, apparently.
Your email was so good that Dan apparently kept it to himself and did not tell me about it, which I can only assume means you talk some serious shit about
it was
me.
All
personally.
About how much you suck.
It is all about how the show is garbage and it should just be Dan.
Jordan yells too much. We just want Dan's analysis. Said nobody. No, it was more just I was embarrassed that it was so positive. I have to hide those things. Anyway.
Thank you very much, Brian. It really does mean a lot whenever people say nice things.
Indeed.
It really does.
Or unnice things about Alex Jones. So today, Jordan, we're going to be embarking in part 4 of my investigation into what the fuck happened to Alex Jones in 2015.
Right.
Today, we're going to be covering the time span of July 14th through July 21st,
mm-hmm.
2015. It's going to be strange. It's a weird road ahead, but there's a lot of stuff that's very worth discussing. And Alex Jones being very weird. Very
okay.
weird.
Okay.
His headspace is so fucked up. And I think I've started to piece a few things together. I'm going to give you some of this analysis up front.
Okay.
I think that Alex Jones, more than being just a propagandist, is someone who's tricked by propaganda very easily.
That would make sense. That follows.
And I think I like to play the game where there's something super nefarious going on and Roger Stone is pulling the strings behind him.
As do we all.
And that may be the case. But a very simple explanation.
Well, I mean, hopefully for the popularity of our show, it's the case.
Sure, if we break that would be huge.
That'd be huge, yeah. If it turns out he's just an idiot, then we all feel kind of weird, don't we?
Yeah, because then everyone's we knew that.
Yeah.
I'm starting to...
Breaking. Scientists have discovered that Alex Jones is a fucking moron.
I'm starting to get a sense that possibly a lot of his transformation that happens in 2015 is... that there is weaponized propaganda going around, and he is as much a proponent of it as he is a victim of it.
Okay.
And one of the things that made that click into place was I was listening very carefully to James Comey's testimony last week. And one of the things that he was asked was, when did the FBI become first aware of Russian hacking and Russian influence campaigns? And his answer was, summer of 2015, which is right around the era when we're talking about.
Okay. All right.
I have noticed a lot of instances of Alex believing bullshit stories.
That were deliberately, or at least possibly traced back to.
It's possible.
Those
Who
kind
knows?
Of Russian propaganda
Who
influence
knows?
Campaigns.
It's possible.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if we can definitively say that. We can definitely say that he believes complete lies.
Right.
And he would be susceptible to that.
Circumstantially, it does seem to make sense.
If he was hacked.
Ooh.
There's all sorts of shit that
now
could be
we've
found
got
out.
A different nefarious campaign. I'm loving it.
It's entirely possible.
I'm loving it.
Because if you were someone who was trying to use influence campaigns, if you were trying to use propaganda to sway public opinion,
right.
One of the very obvious targets would be Alex Jones. He's clearly crazy. He's hiding something.
Yes, he is.
His finances are out of control. He has a lunatic fringe of audience. Like, it would be someone who you'd obviously want to blackmail.
A lunatic fringe that we can probably safely say is proportionally more violent than the rest of us.
Yeah. So, I don't know if any of this will bear out, but that's something that I'm starting to look at and starting to feel, is that he just falls for propaganda really easily.
Mm.
And we'll see a bit of it over the course of this episode. But first, let's start in July 14th. Alex Jones has an interesting ride on July 14th, but he has one big announcement that he starts the show with.
Oh,
and
no.
This is very exciting.
Oh, no.
Because at the end of this clip, I will explain why this excites the shit out of me, but I think you'll know. I think you'll fucking
know. You think it'll
be
obvious?
Oh, yeah.
All right, strap yourselves in. It's going to be a power-packed, loaded transmission today. And we're going to be going live right into the fourth hour. Most stations carry just the first 3 hours. For years, I did 4 hours. And a lot of stations still carry the fourth hour. That's a re-air of the first hour. Or some stations carry the second, third, and fourth hour. It varies. But I am looking at bringing back, I will announce here on air, sometime this year, the fourth hour, but making the fourth hour an intense news broadcast with a fourth hour roundtable discussion where more than 50 news articles will be covered every day. Boom, boom, boom. Throw the topic out. Get a quick comment from the people on the panel. Take a call. Go to the next story.
How say you on globalists? They suck. All right, to the phone. So first of all, he failed.
Really?
In making a news-heavy roundtable.
A news-heavy, God damn it, Alex. That's a pipe dream, even for you, sir.
But bringing back the fourth hour means we're this much closer to John Rappaport.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah, because he is a fourth-hour host.
Right.
He can't exist within the context of 3 hours, but once the fourth hour comes...
Is there a possibility that we'll stumble upon an episode where he does try this fourth hour, and that is the beginning of Rappaport?
He does do the fourth hour on this episode on July 14th.
Yeah.
And he has Leanne McAdoo host.
I mean, when we're talking about, like, the round table, so, like, he tries that out.
Bro, I don't think he ever does that.
But come on.
You can't.
Just the idea of Alex trying to coexist with three other people allowed to talk at the same time.
Not a chance.
No. Zero chance.
But I think his premise.
But it would be a beautiful fire.
I think the premise is he's not involved in the fourth hour.
Okay.
I think he is saying, because he does get into, like, I've been secretly training the anchors, having them on air.
Why secretly? Just train them. That's a good idea.
I've been putting them on air. They don't know I'm building to something. David Knight. Anyway.
But they should know. It's their job.
Another thing he talks about is how he's going to launch a TV network. Which is important because he's lying about that currently.
Yes.
2 years later, he's still saying, we're about to do this. Roger Stone's going to have a TV show.
Any
Mike Cernovich
now.
Is going to get a show.
Any moment now.
Yeah. So I think there's reasons not to get too freaked out about Alex's stated plans in 2017 of having a TV network.
I don't think we need to worry too much about that.
Nope. But if it does happen, we do need to be very worried because...
I think it would rapidly become the most sued TV network in history.
Yes.
Now, that worries me just because I don't know if I'm ready to allow my tax dollars to go to that many legal suits.
You remember how, like, Spike TV immediately got sued because Spike Lee was like, that's my name.
I did not remember that.
This will get sued faster. I can't say this enough. Bring on the Rappaport.
Yeah.
I am excited for that to happen. Leanne McAdoo hosts the fourth hour in this episode, and she is not ready.
I think it's just very silly how somehow we've developed this weird fascination with John Rappaport to the point where now I'm kind of rooting for him.
I am too, like, even though he's awful.
He's the worst. Yeah. He's a fucking miserable monster who tries to rip fun and joy from everyone and spread this bullshit vaccination lie. But at the same time, look
AIDS
at you.
Real.
Look at you. You're a weirdo monster that lives in a cave that can't fucking hang a goddamn painting.
That's part of it.
How can I not love this man?
That's a big part of it. The other part is that he looks like a druid.
Yes.
He's a googly-eyed Muppet druid. Anyway, we'll get to John Rappaport when he shows up. He hasn't even shown up in an interview up till this point.
Okay.
So I don't even know where he is.
Where was he found?
I don't know, man. I want an origin story. The other realms.
I want an origin story on John Rappaport.
So,
is he Radagast the Brown? I think is the greater question.
The gray. Like, that's Gandalf.
That's Gandalf.
I apologize.
Radagast was the Brown.
I'm not a big enough nerd.
I'm sorry. I'm a big old nerd for the Lords of the Ringus.
So some people, have sort of religious feelings about Lord of the Rings. Would you agree with that? Some people have sort of take it on as a religion. I'm talking about nerds here.
I feel like you're leading me towards something, and this is a trap.
This is not a smooth transition.
This is a trap. This is a terrible transition.
Also, this soda is really good.
It's delicious.
Alex Jones wants to talk about why he's been getting more religious lately. And if you think that it's a complete thought, you're wrong.
This soda is like Galadriel's water. You know what I'm saying?
Shut up, nerd.
You know what I'm saying?
Nerd!
Galadriel!
Nerd!
People can say before I get into all this news and tell you about the guests that are coming up that, why are you getting more and more religious? Well, it's been said many times, there are no atheists in foxholes. And when you read about babies wrapped in gold foil being shipped out of China by the thousands every month and being turned into powder for women mainly to eat it, believing it makes them look younger, and nobody seems to care. When you look at hundreds of millions of abortions every year worldwide, sure. When you look at the globalists poisoning our food and water supply by design and forcing Gardasil shots on young girls all over the planet, when you look at our government funding ISIS and Al-Qaeda, when you look at the borders wide open and El Chapo, now we learn, had his wife
El Chapo?
Move here
That's
to have her baby so he'd have an anchor baby. The billionaire drug dealer even lives off U.S. taxpayers. I mean, it's a joke.
Well, I mean,
and so that's why I'm committed to fight as hard as I can. The British Special Forces slogan for the Special Air Services, the model of Special Forces worldwide, I mean, they were the first to do it, SAS, is fortune favors the bold. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the face of them coming after our guns, coming after our health, coming after everything, fortune favors the bold. What is our fortune? What made our fortune? What made the prosperity and the freedom?
What that
our forebearers
means at
didn't
all.
Back down.
What is he talking about?
They refused
about?
To be
it's
downtrodden.
A, very simple,
a lot of them came from indentured servitude,
slogan.
Slavery, you name it. But they persevered to the point we're at, and our ancestors aren't losers.
How did you get that wrong?
Whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Hispanic or Asian, all peoples of the earth have incredible histories of incredible adversity and overcoming it. And that's why we're here today. The fact that your parents and their grandparents and their great-great-great-great-grandparents were able to have children and have them survive and pass that torch forward, and the fact that we're alive today as a species and dominant on this planet is because we're winners. And I'm sick of people telling us we're not winners.
I
you
don't
are a
understand
you are
what
special.
This is supposed to be about.
Consciousness is incredible. An incredible God made you. Whether you believe in God or not, look around you. Reality's fantastic. 12 dimensions they've discovered.
Not yours,
scientists
man.
Believe there's probably life in other dimensions. What do you think all this is? We only see a very narrow spectrum of light. Just in the light spectrum of this dimension. the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard what God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, has in store for us. And we're not going to let the globalist wall off reality, put us in a matrix to control us, dumb us down, and then phase us out like we're a horse and buggy whip in 1920 and the factories are closing because nobody buys buggies and buggy whips and horses anymore. We are the innovators. We are the great creation. We are in the image of the great creator. We are special. We are powerful. And that's why the fallen one on this planet wants to bring us down.
So that's why Alex has been getting more religious.
I don't know. Was there actually a reason in there?
It was
that
the closest it comes is that there's no atheist in foxholes and he thinks the globalists are committing war on us.
Yeah. And well, they're causing all the abortions and the
hundreds of
the
millions.
Gardasil.
Yeah.
How many people are born every year and
hundreds
how many people
of
die?
Billions. I don't know statistics on that.
I don't know. We're at like 7.5 billion on the planet right now. So I assume it's like, I don't know, 100 million babies born a year and then like 70 million people dying a year, something like that.
Mm.
So if there were hundreds of millions of abortions, that means that if he were to stop abortions, it's entirely possible we would have 12 billion people on this planet next year.
Well, according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, in 2013, 664,435 legal-induced abortions were reported. So that's in the United States. So hundreds of millions worldwide, obviously.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The other stuff is crazy. Like the babies covered in gold foil.
That was my favorite. I immediately got a Willy Wonka's factory situation going there, where babies were on conveyor belts and they were just being rolled up in gold.
There was a guy who got arrested with like some babies covered in foil, like mummified babies that he was trying to transport back to China.
Okay.
From like the Philippines or something like that.
Sure.
I don't remember the origin country, but the reason he was doing that is because China has a very interesting relationship with fetuses and babies,
mm-hmm.
especially ones that have died. They have a whole tradition around abortion where if you get an abortion, you're supposed to create a shrine to the baby and worship the fetus ghost.
Oh boy.
You're supposed to appease the fetus ghost,
ugh.
Bring it food and stuff like that to help it live in the other worlds.
That's like a botchling from old Norse mythology.
Right. I don't know enough to speak on why someone would want to buy some stranger baby. I have no idea. But be that as it may, there's more complicated stuff going on there than Alex is really wrestling with. It's not for people to eat them. The other stuff is so crazy. Like, he believes in God, but then he gets into...
other dimensions.
There's 12 dimensions. There's probably things living in them.
Scientists believe that there are things living in other dimensions.
And then I want to just jump forward to another day's show, because it bears playing here. In this clip, Alex Jones talks a little bit about what he believes about something specific to Scripture. And I mean, like,
ooh,
he's not.
That's a bad idea. He shouldn't really be bringing Scripture up.
I'm not certain he's talking about the same Christianity that most people know. Here you go.
And I don't like suicide, but I understand what people do when they're in so much pain. I don't judge people that commit suicide, and I don't think God does either. I can't speak for God, but just at my gut level and my spirit, I think if somebody's in excruciating pain or their kids have died in a plane crash and they're distraught and I understand jumping off a cliff, I wouldn't personally do it.
Okay.
But
strong
selling
chance.
Assisted suicide and eugenics and euthanasia as if it's just some choice of somebody who's in great pain is not what's happening. This is about devaluing human life and having the state remove people like THX1138 or Logan's Run.
So he's against assisted suicide and stuff like that because he compares it to a movie.
Yeah, it's like Logan's Run.
Think it's going to be government control of stuff.
He could also have said The Giver. They had some government controlled baby killing.
But then at the beginning of it, he's talking about like, I'm cool with suicide and I think God is too. In my gut level, I say that. And I mean, if you look at the Bible, there's 7 people who've committed suicide clearly in the Bible.
Yep.
And 6 of them are called specifically wicked in the Bible. Further, Job 1:21 says, naked I came from my mother's womb and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. A lot of people interpret that to mean that the Lord gives you life and the Lord chooses when your life will end. The Lord takes away when your life ends. 1 Corinthians 10:13, He will not let you be tempted by more than you can bear. But when you are tempted, God will also give you a way to escape that temptation. A lot of people interpret that to be either temptation towards sin or temptation to, God will not give you more than you can handle, more than you can bear.
Yeah, which is clearly bullshit.
Further,
if you needed one reason to disbelieve the Bible, that would be definitely the one of them.
Further, one of the commandments is thou shalt not murder. And strictly speaking, a lot of people believe that suicide is murder. You're murdering yourself. It would be against, if God has given you life, you don't have the right to take it away. That's a pretty consistent theological message, especially of people who have a pretty hard line on the Bible.
Yeah, which and if you're anti-abortion, then the same logic has to apply to killing yourself.
Right, you'd think. So Alex is in this weird fucking religious space. Either way, I just wanted to bring that up because I think he's dumb.
I don't know if you know this or not, but when Alex was growing up, his parents actually read him the Apocrypha. They didn't have a King James. Mm. They had all the Gnostic Gospels.
He has a Tobit tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Or is that the Pseudepigrapha?
The Gospel of Mary, the whole thing.
The Gospel of, what was it? Is it Thomas or Judas that was discovered like 10 years ago?
Judas.
That one didn't exist back when Alex was a wee boy.
Yeah.
Look, I think if he grew up studying Gnosticism, he would actually be way smarter. Because he'd have to wrestle with these enigmatic riddles and, what's going on with the Barbalo? What's going on here?
Well, he was more a fan of the ones where...
We praise the Pleroma!
He's more a fan of the ones where Jesus fought dragons and killed other kids for no reason. You know, the good stuff.
Yeah. So we get back to the 14th here, and something really important happened on the 14th. Up till this point, Alex has only said that he doesn't trust Trump and that Trump is mobbed up, all these sorts of things. Very negative things, although he does agree with his rhetoric.
Loves bigotry, hates the mob.
And does not think it's bigotry.
Wow. Yeah. But let's move on.
So on this show, he has an interview with TV, I don't know if he's on TV, but maybe just a radio host, Larry Elder, who is big into Trump. And I think Alex is a little bit blindsided by it.
Oh, really?
I think he's not ready to have this interview.
Was he not expecting this?
I don't know. I'm not sure exactly. I think he wanted just to talk about race shit with a black guy and accidentally got sidetracked into talking to a guy who really supports Trump.
Oh, okay. So what he was ostensibly doing is like pointing to any he's got a globe and he just closes his eyes and points on it is like, find me a black guy who agrees with me.
Yep.
And then we'll put him on the show so I don't feel like a horrible racist, because I'm totally a horrible racist.
It's possible. So he starts by having a little conversation about identity politics.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's largely what he wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've really hit the nail on the head there when you talk about they've taken our basic freedoms, they've taken our economic future, they've taken our jobs.
Let's talk about the globalists.
And then all they give us is identity politics. That's why they're now drilling down into saying transgender, don't say dad and mom, right. Don't say husband and wife, don't say boy or girl. They're doing this with a straight face to just kill any identity that isn't just worshiping the state.
And that is why, Alex, Trump is resonating. And if I were Trump, I'd broaden the argument. He has not made the argument that illegal aliens pose a threat to job prospects of people living in the inner city.
But he soon will. So that I think is indicative of exactly what this interview is.
Mm-hmm.
Alex wants to talk about the globalists taking away identity and shit like that. And that, of course, it's mostly influenced by the fact that people are still trying to take down Confederate flags. And Alex is pissed about that.
Yes. Yeah. Battle flags. Yeah. Everybody who fought in the Civil War bows to me in my lineage.
Yes. Because of tariffs.
Yes.
Immediately in answering that question, Larry Elder, is like, hey, no, man, I got to tell you, Trump's pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is like,
well, that's, why would you expect, why would Alex expect any of his guests with no prep time, apparently.
None.
To just buy into the globalists. Like, just cause you're because on InfoWars, you're not buying into the globalists.
Well, one thing I've actually noticed, I'm glad you brought that up. One thing that Alex does very consistently, if you listen regularly, he cucks out his guests really hard.
Because of course he does.
Well, the thing that he does, and I've noticed this technique, you heard it a little bit there.
Right.
He's saying that, like, these people are trying to outlaw boy and girl.
Yeah.
You can't say mother and father. What he does is pretty early in the interview, he'll repeat a false story and get them to sign off on it. And they will know that it's a false story, but they don't want to challenge his authority on the show.
Because they also want to get to what they want to say.
Exactly, and they want to use the platform. And after that point, they are essentially compromised.
Right.
So I know that he does that, but also I think that he has a big enough stable of people who are like, wink, wink, on the globalists and stuff like that. So, I mean...
Yeah, globalists, whatever, but did you hear about this Trump guy?
I'm positive this isn't the first time Larry Elder's been on. It's just that we've not had him on an episode before.
Naturally.
So I'm sure they have a pre-existing relationship wherein they both know that each other yells about globalists. Mm. So,
the GOP's trying to outlaw pre-existing relationships.
It's true.
That's true.
So, the interview goes on a little bit, and Alex expresses that he still doesn't really trust Trump.
Larry, I want to get into the Donald Trump phenomenon, because the mainstream media wouldn't be saying his name thousands of times a day and misrepresenting what he's saying if they didn't have a plan. And I think it is to distract from the other Republican candidates thinking that Trump isn't serious and is going to drop out later. That's just what my gut's saying. But regardless, he's saying things that are true.
What a beautiful world that would
be. So he has to be defended.
So that's where he's at. He's even in this, in the middle of this interview with the pro-Trump Larry Elder, he's still saying, I don't trust Trump.
Of course not. But what he is saying is true, so he has to be defended.
He must be defended.
Which, great. That's the logic of a lunatic.
Now Larry Elder steps in it.
Well, I disagree. I think Donald Trump has been defending himself just fine by not apologizing, by not backing down the way Republicans normally do. Recall when Todd Akin said legitimate rape, all he was saying is some women, in fact, lie about rape. Not very many do, but about 10% apparently do. All of a sudden, Rance Priebus jumped on him, and Todd Akin got destroyed in the election. Donald Trump has not backed down. He's not afraid of being called a bigot.
Words have meaning.
No, not
words have to mean things.
Not in globalist
land. You have to have a word that means a thing, and then the word means a thing.
So Todd Akin's quote was, in cases of legitimate rape, the body has a way shutting that
full
down.
Full stop.
Right.
Insanity.
Right.
And then the second part.
That was about abortion.
One, just putting legitimate in front of rape has nothing to do with whether or not somebody lies about rape.
No.
That was entirely about all of the legitimate rape is you have to be beaten up.
There needs to be a knife.
You can't be coerced. You can't be pressured on it. You can't give in.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be forced to do it. So to a certain point where you're like, well, I guess this is my fault now.
Mm-hmm.
That is all rape.
Right.
It is not illegitimate rape.
Mm-mm.
That's not a thing. Then the second part.
The second part is
magic.
Yeah.
He said, in cases of legitimate rape, magic is real. That's what he really said.
The body has a way of shutting that down.
Yeah. Well, shut it. What?
Yeah. So Larry Elder's argument is that Todd Akin fucked up by apologizing.
Yeah.
And Trump isn't making that problem. He's not apologizing. He's not stepping into the same trap that Todd Akin stepped into.
And Todd Akin probably would have done better if he hadn't apologized. I think that's what we've really learned that, again, dog whistling is for losers. Just out and out bigotry. That's the rule of the law.
Apparently it flies.
Yeah, exactly.
And it turns out that we said it even on when it happened earlier, early episodes of the show, Trump should not have fired Flynn. All of this probably wouldn't be happening if he just put his dick on the table and was like, no.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm
because it seems
around.
Because the GOP wouldn't have done anything.
No, not a chance.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Imagine how. Because that's also the last time that he's really listened to anybody there either.
It seems like it.
Yeah, everybody was like, hey, you gotta get rid of Flynn, this is a bad idea, we're getting a lot of bad press.
Yeah.
And it's nonstop from there, and now anytime they're like, hey, Trump, don't do this, he's like, I am, dementia, and then yells exactly the opposite.
Like the time you told me to get rid of Flynny, baby?
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't work.
You think you're so smart?
Yeah.
So, you think this travel ban shouldn't be called a travel ban? Because then we'll win in court? No! Travel ban! Do you know what it is? It's the exact same thing I said it was on the campaign.
It's the exact same thing that every court has said is illegal!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, this interview goes on a little bit longer, and Larry Elder, even though he supports Trump in this next clip, admits that Trump probably is just out for publicity.
Well, I mean, I would certainly rather Donald Trump than a Hillary Clinton in there. But in your gut, and I really respect your opinion on this, you don't think he's some type of ringer just getting political attention for his overall empire?
Oh, I think it's all of the above. I think that Donald Trump feels the worst thing that'll happen is his name recognition will be even higher and maybe he'll make even more money. But I don't think he anticipated the fallout. I don't think he anticipated that ESPN and NASCAR and Univision and NBC would dump him. And other people are also thinking about dumping him. He may even lose clients in his condos. Who knows? But I think overall what Donald Trump feels is the worst that'll happen is my brand will be even bigger, but maybe I'll make some noise. Maybe I'll make something happen. And let's not discount the possibility that he's sincere. He thinks the country's going to hell in a handbasket. He thinks our foreign policy is weak. He thinks our deals with the various other countries are weak, and he thinks the country is going down, and he thinks he, as a business person, can do something about it. I applaud the idea of him going off the grid for this time and spending his time and his energy and his money trying to make the country better as opposed to making more money. Why aren't people applauding that?
I guess I have to say I applaud him because he is getting persecuted now, and he's not backing down, and he's not going to do the Miss America thing. He's going to focus on the campaign. Again, though, Larry, doesn't this show the other Republicans what they should have been doing the whole time?
It most certainly does. The other Republicans are wusses, and that's one of the things that pisses people off.
That's the first thing I wholeheartedly agree with him on.
Yeah, that's fair. But
clearly, with Trump in office and the other Republicans hating it and still not doing anything, they're a giant group of wusses.
Well, you see, Larry Elder is affecting Alex, and he's softening his perspective.
Absolutely.
Even though the conversation they're having is about how he's probably fucking around for publicity. To the point where Larry Elder even says, let's not discount the possibility he's serious.
Hey, let's not throw that away.
No, I know it's an outside chance, but let's maybe he's serious. And Alex is like, yeah, we got to applaud it because he's putting his business things on the line, not realizing that he stands to gain so much from abusing the presidency.
Oh, man. And he sure does.
Yeah.
To the point where all of the, like, they are right about everything being a publicity stunt and an idea to make more money. It just so happened that he got the presidency, so he's using it to generate more publicity and make more money.
Yeah.
So, he's even got the Department of Justice arguing that he should be allowed to take money from whoever he wants.
Yep.
The Department of Justice in the United States is actively arguing, you know that Constitution? Not a fan.
I fucking...
Boo! Fake news!
While we're on this, like, little Trump thing, I loved that moment from his press conference at the end of last week where he's with the Romanian president. And they're talking about waivers, like visa waivers for Romanians. And he's like, we didn't talk about it. And the Romanian president's like, I brought it up.
Yeah.
Just like, what the fuck are we doing? You just watch that clip alone, like, ooh, no.
Not good.
Take everything else away. That's bad.
That's very bad.
Yeah. It's not good to trust a foreign leader. I have no idea what he's up to. Although my brother was born in Bucharest, so I have some relation to Romania.
There you go.
Spent a tiny bit of time there as a young boy, and I remember it being miserable.
Ah.
But that was also back in the
That's why you got to get waivers for your visas.
It was in the late 80s, though, so, I mean, that whole area is doing a lot better than back then, necessarily. Anyway, Larry Elder's not quite done.
Okay.
He's got to be involved in two more clips that are pretty offensive. One is about Charleston, and then the other one's just about race.
No!
This one is wild.
No!
I mean, isn't that the answer? That he pulls that gun out, and somebody pulls a gun out and blows him away, and maybe only two people would have been dead? Kim and maybe the first person he shot? I mean, isn't that the answer? Isn't it gun-free zones and an anti-gun culture really what ended up killing these people?
Why is two casualties your baseline?
I don't know.
Oh, I would rather have two people dead than no people dead.
Yeah.
Maybe if he didn't have a fucking gun, he wouldn't have been able to kill those people.
It's possible, but then you get into the argument he could have had a knife, you know, blah, blah, blah. That stupid argument. But
it's a dumb argument.
But what's dumber is the idea that, like, okay, someone there, it's their fault because they didn't have a gun.
Yeah.
And further, it's society's fault for disarming churches. And it's, you know, it's the anti-gun agenda's fault that these people died, not the person, not the white supremacist who actually did it.
No.
So
it's the anti-gun agenda.
Keep that in mind, because there's an interesting juxtaposition.
Every time somebody gets shot by a gun, it's because the anti-gun agenda.
Not the white supremacist who's doing it.
But
keep that in mind, because the Charleston shooting happened, you know, 2 weeks before this. But there's a shooting in Chattanooga that happens a couple days after where we're at in the timeline now, and Alex treats it very differently.
You know, I said that jokingly, and then I realized that's exactly what they believe. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody gets shot, it's because we say you shouldn't have guns.
Yep.
That's genuinely mm-hmm. their position.
Mm-hmm.
That's how do we lose to these people, Dan?
I don't know.
These are the dumbest fucking people.
Speaking of dumb.
It's unbelievable.
Speaking of dumb, listen to this clip.
Okay.
Alex has some weird fucking thoughts about who's to blame for racism.
Oh, no.
Well, it's really sad because up until Obama got elected, I saw a lot of racial harmony, people coming together. It was just really refreshing. And now I've never seen it so energized in my whole life, not growing up in the, you know, early 70s and stuff in the 80s. And it just is, it's so cold blooded.
Maybe because you didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe you're blind.
Maybe because you didn't have to deal with it.
Yep.
Maybe white people, one of the big reasons you don't understand racism is because it's not a thing you deal with.
It's not germane to your immediate experience.
Yeah. So of course you think racism isn't a problem because it's not a problem for you.
You have to, you know, really expand your mind and try and relate to other people's experiences to understand just how insidious
it is. You don't even have to really expand your mind. You have to just look at a person and be like, hey, what did you experience? And they tell you a thing and you're like, oh, that's probably true. I should respect your experience instead of telling you what your life experience is wrong.
No, because you tell me your life experience, and then my response is, oh, man, it sucks the globalists are doing that to you.
It is. So it does suck the globalists are doing that to me.
Sucks, man. So that's it for the 14th. And we see just a little bit of softening in Alex's position towards Trump. And we move on to the 15th, which we're not going to cover because David Knight hosted. But something important to remember is July 15th, 2015 was when Jade Helm 15 kicked off. The old Jade Helm.
Oh, the one that he said was real and then later told us was not real.
We don't really know if he said it was real per se. We don't have audio evidence of that, so let's not make that claim.
Fine. Disappointing.
We have good reason to believe he did, but we can't prove it.
If we can't prove it, then we can't.
But.
Then I will retract that statement.
But we will see where his head is at a little bit later.
Of course we will.
On the episode
of course.
Of July 16th when Alex is back in studio.
Of course.
So Alex starts off the July 16th episode with a little bit of a tease that should scare everyone.
I really spent some time watching Donald Trump's speeches and his interviews. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'll give you my take on Donald Trump. I've really done some soul searching on the subject, and I'll give you my take on whether I think he's a shill or not.
Spoiler alert. He still thinks he's a shill?
We'll see. It comes a little.
Damn you!
Comes a little later in the episode.
I was waiting for you to tell me.
So on this episode, Alex Jones he's all over the goddamn place on the 16th. It is a massive clusterfuck of weird narratives, strange things he says. But one of them is Mark Dice has a new video. We're not going to listen to it. Don't worry.
Okay. Thank you.
It's all the same shit.
Thank you so much.
It's the exact same setup. It's just him talking to people on a beach with a clipboard.
Getting owned.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
This one is about how Mount Rushmore is racist. And they should.
I actually agree with that very much.
Not entirely. I mean, like Roosevelt's up there.
No, I mean that they took American native lands.
Oh yeah, that part.
And used it to build giant monuments to the very people who stole those American native lands.
You know what? Mark Dice doesn't wrestle with that.
I strangely feel like I should have known.
So Mark Dice has gone out and done this video, and I wanted to play this clip just because it indicates again this insidious cycle that Alex Jones perpetuates, wherein he has one of his reporters go out, create some video that doesn't say what he pretends it says, drudge links to it. Or it gets a link up somewhere, and then Alex Jones repeats it as news. He's going to say that there's a headline, and the headline is that people are calling for the destruction of Mount Rushmore, mm-hmm. which isn't happening. It's entirely based on Mark Dice's video.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this clip, it's very short, but he says that this is news up top, and then at the end, he says he told Mark Dice to go make this video. So it's just a closed loop. It's
yeah.
a completely nonsensical.
Well, that's how Fox News operated almost from the very beginning. Their trick was always to have their news people say a basic story.
Mm-hmm.
Then their opinion people would be like, this is what is really happening. And then there, the next day, the news would keep it in the cycle by saying, people are saying that what is happening.
Our commentators.
Exactly. But it's people. It's just people are saying. You know, we're reporting on what people are saying. We're not verifying it or supporting it. Just so happens that the people that said it are on our network and we have a vested interest in making sure that you have their thoughts in your mind all the fucking time. But people are saying it. We're reporting on it.
So here's our reporting on what Alex Jones does.
A new video, Obama supporters advocate tearing down racist Mount Rushmore. We told you that was coming.
Is it?
In fact, I said a few weeks ago, reporters go out and call for tearing down Mount Rushmore. Well, Mark Dice has done it.
So, I mean,
wait, what?
Yeah. That's basically him saying, hey, go stage this thing and
Try and get us evidence for whatever narrative we want to support.
And then my prediction will have come true.
I love that version of reporting.
Yeah, it's not. It's quite literally fake news.
Yeah, exactly.
But like when he says, I told you this is coming, he's not saying, I told you this video was going to be released.
No.
That's not the context he's saying. He's saying that in much the same way he predicted that people would be calling for the American flag to be banned.
Of course.
Based on a Mark Dice video.
Yeah.
All of these things are things like, I made these predictions and then I told my reporters to somehow justify my stupid fucking prediction.
That's why he's 100% right all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
You know what? He's not just
You can predict everything so long as you make it happen.
Mm-hmm. So he's not just right all the time. He's wrong all the time.
Oh!
Now, this is going to get bad.
It's going to get Mark Dicey?
Something else happened in July of 2015 that is really funny conceptually, but isn't funny at all. And that is that the Center for Medical Progress went and made all those behind-the-scenes videos about Planned Parenthood people selling baby parts.
That's right.
And I'm going...
The ones they're in jail for now, right?
They're not in jail yet, but they've been charged with 15 felonies.
Good.
I believe the sentencing is still to come and what have you, but...
Oh, I hope it's so much jail.
They're in big trouble.
I want a lot of jail.
They're in big trouble for this, and I'll explain exactly why on the other end of it, but I want to really point out, Alex Jones fucking buys it.
Yeah.
He is so into it. He talks about it a little bit here, and then the entire show a couple days later is all about it.
Well, that was an entire news cycle.
Yeah.
All made up.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all you heard, that narrative being pushed to the point where now, just like Obama's a secret Muslim, the GOP still believes it.
Mm-hmm.
They still believe that Planned Parenthood sells baby parts.
Yep. And okay, I'll just explain it now.
Even though the people who disseminated those videos are going to jail, they're still like, ah, no, that was true. They're just being prosecuted because of the powers that be or whatever fucking nonsense they want to lie about.
So the guy who's behind the Center for Medical Progress is a guy named David Daedalen, or Dale Dean. Dale Den? Who cares?
I'm good.
His organization set up a fake
Jail Dean. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
His organization.
Get it?
I got it.
Yeah.
They set up a fake biomedical research company called Biomax Procurement Services. Under this guise, they posed as potential buyers of aborted fetal tissue and organs and secretly recorded Planned Parenthood officials during meetings. The Center for Medical Progress released edited versions of these videos, which it promoted as showing Planned Parenthood officials price haggling over baby parts. When the full, unedited videos became available, they instead showed a Planned Parenthood executive repeatedly saying its clients want to cover their costs, not make money, when donating fetal tissue from abortions to scientific research. According to the lawyer for Planned Parenthood, Roger K. Evans, Biomax proposed sham procurement contracts offering $1,600 for liver and thymus fetal tissues. I went back and I watched all of these videos.
Uh-huh.
They are shamelessly edited.
Yeah.
To the point where anyone who doesn't have an agenda that this supports would be like, come the fuck on. It's so crazy. And Alex is so into it. He, like, I can't wait till we get to the 20th. Because that's when he really tees off on it. But he is...
So you can't wait so we can tee off on him, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. So
gotcha.
Also, the other thing that's important to point out is... You know, these guys, let me get these specifics here. So they are, on March 28th, 2017, this, Daedalen and his cohort were charged with 15 felonies in the state of California, one for each of the people who they had filmed without consent, because they did not get consent.
Oh, really?
And one for
those hidden videos where they didn't get consent and edited heavily, making it seem like they were committing a crime?
Yep. And one for criminal conspiracy to invade privacy. Now, the thing that is really important to note is that this is funny. This is
okay, good.
Now
we're awesome. Now I'm free and clear.
Everyone investigated their claims. The Senate, the House, all these state governors, everyone investigated it. And everyone cleared Planned Parenthood. Everyone did investigations.
You know who didn't clear Planned Parenthood?
The Center for Medical Progress?
No, the fucking everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody who listened to it.
But this one's particularly funny. On July 30th, 2015, Indiana Governor Mike Pence announced that the state's investigation did not find any evidence of wrongdoing in Planned Parenthood's handling of fetal tissue.
Ooh. If Mike Pence had to say that out loud, I bet his babies died.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's insane. The number of investigations that were opened into it, there were like select committees, the Jason Chaffetz, the chairman of the United States House Committee on Oversight and Governmental Reform.
Oh, that giant pussy.
On October 8th, 2015, he stated that a GOP investigation found no evidence of wrongdoing by Planned Parenthood. Even people who are like staunchly against Planned Parenthood are all like, fuck, there's nothing
and
here.
Who did everything possible within that investigation
yeah.
to try and prove it so hard. That was investigated so thoroughly for even the slight, because if there was even a slight bit, they would have been like, mm-hmm. well, the entirety of the claim wasn't proven, but we did catch them on this, the Al Capone racketeering charge mm-hmm. of Planned Parenthood, and yeah. they couldn't find fuck all.
So the exception is that there was a select committee in the United States House, the Committee on Energy and Commerce Select Investigation Panel on Planned Parenthood was formed to further investigate Planned Parenthood, with Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn serving as the chairwoman.
She sucks.
On September 21st, the panel voted 8-0 to recommend holding STEM Express, which was a business that did research and got tissue from Planned Parenthood, in contempt of Congress for failure to comply with a subpoena. The six Democratic members on the panel walked out of the meeting in protest before the vote. The committee's final report recommended that, quote, the National Institutes of Health be required to stop funding fetal tissue research and that the huge health provider Planned Parenthood be stripped of U.S. funding. According to the publication Science, the report contained multiple inaccuracies. Democratic members of the panel who had not been permitted to read, respond to, or vote on the final report released an alternate report in which they criticized the committee for relying on McCarthy-era tactics and of relying on unsourced, unverified documents in writing of the report. So that's sort of some of the aftermath of this.
How is this, like, I get that you don't you like not being disease ridden?
It's nice.
Dan, are you a big fan of that?
Sure.
Do you want to continue not being disease ridden?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, you know, new diseases can happen.
It's true.
Like, they can happen at any time.
Yeah, they can evolve.
Or, you know, like, there might be genetic issues.
Sure.
Don't you want to research this?
No.
Don't you want to learn more about it? Not just because, you know, you're fine now, but because maybe in the future there will be information that you want to have.
You're talking voodoo,
information,
my man.
Information that you can protect yourself with.
You don't play
don't
God.
Don't you want to research on things that are already dead?
Don't play God.
You can't praise a spirit and keep yourself from getting sick. Why? Can we just not give them science?
You know what
they don't get it.
You know what the other thing?
You know what? 8-member panel. You don't get any science from now on.
It's a 14-member panel. 6 of them walked out.
Yeah, yeah. So, all 8 of you, you get no, your phones gone.
So,
TVs gone. You know what? We didn't land on the moon because you're not allowed to believe that.
The true comedy of it too is in this video. There are people who, like, this guy is giving these high prices that they're going to pay for fetal tissue and stuff like that. And pretty much across the board, the people are like, that's higher than we pay. Like, they're haggling, but it's the reverse of what you would expect in haggling. The person's coming too high because they're trying to make it look like there's a tissue scam going
right,
on.
Right. When they're trying to make money off of it.
Right.
Yeah,
when in reality, it is like $50 for samples to credentialed and certified research centers.
Of course.
So
because
it's fucking so stupid.
Because Planned Parenthood is so hated by the GOP for doing awful things like providing women and men and children with mm-hmm. coverage and help and health, you know, that kind of a thing. Making sure that we don't get not disease ridden.
Right.
They hate them for that.
Mm-hmm.
So Planned Parenthood is always under investigation. It is always being scrutinized. So, of course, if you go and try and catch them do something,
yeah,
they have safeguard under safeguard under safeguard.
Yep.
Like, we will show not even the slightest bit. We will give them no evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So that even though when they close down those clinics, at the end of the day, we will have been within perfect understanding and compliance with the law.
Yep. Well, the other thing is that, like,
'cause if they aren't, it's gone for good.
Totally.
Every single one of them.
I agree. The other thing is that, like, this is so indicative of what I talk about with propaganda and truth. Like, this still people believe. It's utter horseshit and still people believe. The damage is done. You can explain away that, like, no, these people are manipulatively editing videos to say things they don't say. These people have all been investigated by legitimate boards and cleared of all any wrongdoing.
And the people who made the videos are going to jail for it.
Most likely. Or at least being fucking sued real hard.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. The propaganda is too effective. Now, well, let's get to the clips of Alex. He has a couple clips about this on this episode on the 16th. And one of the things that's really important to remember is all the people in the videos are women.
So we're going to treat them with a lot of respect
and dignity.
I'm sure that there will be zero comments on their appearance.
I don't know. No, there are, but I'm not sure if I kept any of those in because I actually think that there's something even more important that goes on. And that is that Alex Jones is clearly using coded language to evoke classism. There is, like, I'll play these clips. You'll know what I'm talking about. It's
all right.
Very overt.
Okay.
He does this a lot, but it's almost never this clear. It's fascinating to me.
Another important article, stone cold proof that America deserves judgment. And that's the breakdown of Planned Parenthood's
'cause stone cold
director,
says so.
One of their major directors of an entire national program, senior director of medical services for the Federation of America, Planned Parenthood.
She was the
just
first
talking
woman
about
woman
selling body parts and how they're
director.
Trying to get around it to make more money.
That's not what they're doing.
Sitting there drinking wine at a expensive restaurant, fine dining.
Uh-huh.
And again, this is a picture or a video that tells a million words of literally suffering, paying for expensive wine. And Italian food at an upscale restaurant.
Fortune favors
with
the rich.
A paycheck from babies' body parts.
They don't get their paychecks from babies' body parts. But also, did you see how he kept
those fat cats?
The fine bottles of wine.
Oh.
The upscale dining.
They are getting rich off of the tragedy of abortion.
Totally.
They're convincing susceptible young women, and you know that's who we're really afraid of.
Mm-hmm.
We're afraid that you're going to corrupt our young women.
Yeah.
We can't have you do that. Next thing you know, they'll be sleeping with black men.
They're too dumb to know any better.
Ugh.
But anyway, this thread runs throughout his entire coverage of this video. It's so dog whistly in terms of class. And
which is
so
frustrating
much.
Because we have such a huge issue with class.
Mm-hmm.
A huge issue with class to the point where, of course, it is resonant.
Yeah.
It should resonate. But it should be.
But it's manipulative in this case.
I want to eat the aborted tissue of the billionaire I ate. Is that how that works?
I'm not sure.
I don't know what my science was on that one.
Well,
but billionaires are fucking us over all the time.
If you did do that, you wouldn't be able to afford a nice bottle of wine, a fine bottle of wine.
Oh, well, I would age the billionaire.
He's making so
appropriately.
He makes so many assumptions about
turn
like,
him into hardtack.
They show this the video that he's talking about is a video where a lady is eating a salad. I don't know if it's a classy establishment. You really can't tell from the video. And she is drinking a glass of wine.
She's eating a salad? Bougie bullshit.
You don't know if this glass of wine is $7. You have no fucking idea how much this costs. That's not in the videos that he's going over.
If it's not from a box, it's too rich for my blood.
I go Carlo Rossi. Pirate jug. So here's him being more classism. More classism about the Planned Parenthood videos.
We played the video the last 2 days. Maybe I should play it again. As she smacks her lips and enjoys it and clearly gets off on talking about baby parts while she's slurping fine red wine.
But also, that's not indicative of the video at all. There's no one getting off. There's no one enjoying the idea of aborted babies at all. It's just dealing with it as like, oh, there is a research use for this tissue that would be being thrown away, mm-hmm. that is completely legal for them to, first of all, take. They have to get waivers from everybody right. who gets an abortion. There's consent forms that they have to have filled out. And some people don't sign those. And when they don't.
3-day waiting periods and there are all this shit.
Right. And,
longer than you have to wait to get a gun.
Right. Well, it's cause,
you can actually get same day abortions at an abortion show.
Oh, that's true.
There's a loophole in that law.
You can also get a Nazi abortion. Free speech. So there's two more clips, not of this, but there's two clips that are kind of fun, and then we'll get into Alex's big reveal about his soul searching about Trump that's going to come.
Okay.
Like I said, this episode is really all over the place, the 16th. He is in a strange headspace because this video is fucking him up, and he knows that I gotta work on this, but then he's also got he has an interview he's got to do later in the show, and then he gets a fucking huge curveball thrown at him, like right at the end.
Right.
And he's just sort of, he's untethered. He's all over the place.
What's interesting to me is now that he mentions that, human sexuality being as diverse as it is, somebody does get off on the idea of
certainly
fetal tissue, right?
Yeah, probably one of the Satanists who yells at him at an abortion rally.
If there's anything we know about, the most zealous anti-gay GOPers.
Sure.
Generally, they're the ones we find with rent boys.
Yeah, it does seem
so
that way.
I'm guessing, especially with all of our weird perverted sexual fantasies that Alex has thrown in there and has been like, this is awful. And then he's like, just this young little girl just getting touched.
Yeah.
Like that tone of voice.
Yeah, he does do that.
Oh,
a lot.
He jerks off to those videos.
It's possible.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to make that claim.
Oh, yeah.
But I am going to make the claim very strongly that when Alex Jones is untethered, when he has no bearing, what ends up happening is often he ends up bragging. And this.
Yes, that's true.
This next clip.
He jerks his own dick.
This is a fucking weird brag.
No, they hate me. They're a group of crooks.
The globalists.
Yes.
Stealing our freedom, running every scam you can imagine, selling off our infrastructure for pennies on the dollar. I know their game plan. I know their fraud. I'm straight shooting. They can't stand it. And they are now assassinating me big time. My name, who I am, ahead, because they've got actuaries. They've got demographics. They've got graphs.
You don't know what an
they know we've hit the mega zeitgeist. I mean, it is
the
exponential. When I told the story last week about how I took my kids down to the hike and bike trail where there's a big luscious creek, Barton Creek, on the city-owned greenbelt, the pop.
Keep in mind, he just said, I told this story before.
Yeah.
He's going to tell it again.
No, well,
this,
I mean.
This bear is telling twice.
He's got to fill time, man. This is my favorite
Greenbelt,
Alex.
Just giant city parks, basically. Yeah. 40,000 acres of them, to be precise. And there were like 30-something people standing around at the waterfall there in the creek.
Killed by my neighbor's owl.
All of them were pointing at me saying, that's Alex Jones. All of them.
Yeah, of course.
And about 10 or 15 of them came over. 5 years ago, maybe 10 of them would be staring at me and 5 would come over.
I don't know. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
A few nights ago, and was walking to get an Uber, maybe 200 yards, and every group of people that walked past me downtown, every group said, "That's Alex Jones."
Paranoia.
Now I don't know how we're reaching this many people. We don't see the numbers on the website. We don't see. I mean, we see huge numbers, but nothing like this. This show is loved all over the world now. Governments listen to it because I'm just a straight shooter and we have a very accurate history. And I can't believe I'm still alive. Please pray for us, but they are assassinating us right now.
Very accurate history on the same show. He pitches this fraudulent Planned Parenthood narrative.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Very accurate history.
Also, ooh, you're getting in a bougie Uber.
Yeah.
Ooh. This- So, I mean, like,
you're exploiting the underclass.
Well, but I mean, if he wants to play the game of like, ooh, this fancy bottle of wine, ooh, you're paying a poor person to drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, Alex. But like, I love it because there, you can read between the lines what he's experiencing. He's saying that like, everyone's pointing at me and saying that's Alex Jones, which I believe is probably happening. And
possibly
happen. Then he's like, we're not seeing these kind of numbers on the website because of course you're not. People are aware of you at this point because of memes. People are making fun of him.
Yeah.
And so when everyone's like, oh, fuck, it's Alex Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they're saying it. It's not like, oh my God, there's the truth teller.
He thinks he's in A Hard Day's Night now. That's what he thinks is going on. He's walking down the street and young, nubile women are screaming his name.
No, fuck that. I think he thinks it's like John the Baptist or something like that.
Oh, okay. We're going even more delusional.
Yeah, I think he thinks people are like seeing him walk around like, I don't know, Jerusalem or whatever. I don't remember exactly where John the Baptist was.
Wherever the fuck he was. Who cares?
Judea? I don't know. Anyway, he's walking around. John the Baptist was like, oh my God, it's the baptizer. It's the one who prophesied the coming of Christ.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks. He thinks people are like, oh my God, it's the guy who tells everyone the truth about the globalists.
Oh, man. God.
Crazy.
What a crazy world.
Yeah. But he actually gets to, a little bit later, explain why there's such a disconnect between his version of reality and everyone else's, which I'll play for you and I'll see if you buy into it. I don't know. Maybe you will.
I bet I do.
I don't know. It's a pretty.
I bet it's actually 100% accurate.
It's very sensible.
I'm going to guess this.
The reality of the globalist assault is so overwhelming, so mega massive evil, so completely given over to death that the average person can't even basically see it because it's so alien to their nature, to their fundamental nature of being good people.
So you can't see the globalists because they're too evil. That's his explanation.
Yeah.
That's really dumb.
No, that makes perfect sense.
I can conceive of a lot of fucking evil shit. I can imagine terrible plans.
But you are awake, Dan. You listen to InfoWars.
That's true.
See, this is the problem.
Even though
I can't conceive of the globalists. I think it's insane. I think it's too crazy. It's too far beyond me because I am a generally good person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm honest.
So also,
I'm a straight shooter.
This is as good.
Governments listen to me.
This is as good a time as any for me to reveal that I've started reading the books that Alex talks about that are like the foundational pieces of his cosmology.
Uh-huh.
And like, I've already read None Dare Call It a Conspiracy, and
right.
It's fucking stupid.
Of course.
It's absolute utter garbage and complete misunderstanding.
Is it a fun read though?
Nope.
Aw.
It's not even that great.
Very dry?
Yeah. He also talks about Zbigniew Brzezinski a lot, and
uh-huh.
I've read most of the Great Chessboard.
Was he like the Secretary of State for Carter?
Maybe.
I want to say, yeah, it was Carter.
That sounds
well,
right.
One, it, only Carter would pick a non-white male American name.
He's white?
No, I know, but his name is Zbigniew.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So I've read part of...
Yeah, Reagan's picking Paul or Derek. Reagan's not picking a Zbigniew.
Zbigniew Brzezinski! I've read parts of The Great Chessboard, and I'll get to reading all of it eventually, but Alex has complained a lot about the book The Technotronic Era, and it's interesting because it's not at all what he talks about.
It's about the band?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's about the polyphonic spree. It predicts their coming. It's actually called Between Two Ages, America's Place in the Technotronic Era. And first of all, I fucking love the book from the jump because it opens with a Steppenwolf quote, which is my my favorite book. And I'm like, Zbigniew, you kidding me? All right. So I'm not quite done with the book yet, and it could take a harsh turn in the last chapter. But so far what it's about is it was written back in the 60s, and it's about how technology is going to be super important in terms of modernization and the world.
So he's off to a great start.
And a large chunk of the book is talking about how developing countries and the burgeoning markets,
uh-huh.
what have you, are going to have a really difficult time keeping up with the technology. Because in order to modernize, generally you need stability. That's mostly, it's not saying we need to keep them unstable so they won't develop.
Like what Obama said.
What Alex thinks Obama said. It's more lamenting the impossibility or the unlikelihood of countries even like India. If you looked at it from the 60s, they didn't look like they had a very good chance of catching up with the rest of the world.
And they're still struggling to catch up, but they're doing a lot better job of it than Zbigniew could have predicted.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Zbigniew, he just died recently.
Yeah, he did.
But yeah, by all the accounts that I've read, he was actually a pretty good dude.
And again, I haven't finished the book. It could take a real hard turn. But so far, I'm finding Alex probably doesn't understand what he's reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's probably, like you even mentioned earlier, this schizoid tendencies where he thinks everyone's pointing at him, and
yeah.
maybe they are laughing at him,
yeah.
or maybe he imagines it.
Yeah.
Or, and in this case...
And in his reality, it doesn't matter whether it's real or imagined. To him,
no.
it is real.
And so he's reading this book, and he's like, oh, they're fucking with me. He's reading the book, I'm sure, and he's like, oh.
This is the globalist plan, and I'm the one who can see it through this book.
Because everyone else who reads this doesn't understand evil enough.
Yeah.
They can't conceive of the idea that he's writing about this sort of... other weather-based technology.
But it's in code.
Right.
And he has to say that, you know, otherwise people would be like, what? We gotta tear him down. But yeah. he's signaling to his other globalist cohorts.
Wink, globalists.
This is our next way to, you know.
Right.
And yeah, of course, well, fuck. We wouldn't even get Godzilla for another 10 years or whatever, so.
No, the first one was like in the 50s.
Oh, that's right. It was
the one with
50s,
Raymond Burr.
I forgot about that.
Burr one was the American remake of the original.
Yeah, yeah. Because yeah.
they had to make it more palatable, and we didn't need to be the bad guys.
No, we can't be the bad guys.
So I apologize. That was a little more extended than I intended it to be. But I'm fascinated by reading all these texts of like, where does he get these ideas from? And finding out they don't match up with what he's referencing.
I love the promise of this podcast is you and I will get to laugh at Alex Jones.
In person.
And instead, we got Zbigniew Brzezinski's book. And not clips of him reading it or anything like that. You just giving us a rundown.
And I still haven't finished it yet.
So policy wonks out there, go ahead and look forward to the second half of the Zbigniew Brzezinski book report.
I fully cop to the fact that the next installment could be like, holy shit, he was right all along. The odds of that are infinitesimal.
Very low. Very low.
There is an outside chance I will be reporting back. Alex Jones is fucking right, you guys. We have got to run. But for now, it's time to get to the results of Alex Jones's soul searching.
Yes.
And I'm going to call this Hints of a Heel Turn.
Ooh.
So what do they do when InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and my reporters and writers and myself have been chronicling this for 20 years?
The globalists.
And others before us. Well,
everyone
they just come out and they misrepresent what we're saying and what we're doing. And they've done the same thing with Donald Trump. Now, this weekend... And then throughout the week, I watched hours of Donald Trump videos on CNN, NBC, Fox News, the lengthy 20, 30-minute interviews he does.
I did not read anything.
No, but I would also like to point out that if he's actually watching hours of the footage, then he has to have watched the interviews where he says, kill terrorists' families.
Yep.
He has to say has to have watched the videos where he says we should have stolen oil from countries as war plunder. He has to have watched all of the interviews where he says that Putin is a great guy, you know, talking about how great Putin is.
Yeah, he's
like,
a great guy.
Alex Jones, now, by virtue of the fact that you've watched hours of those interviews, you have to be aware of those things. And if you're okay with them, then you're okay with all that. And that's not good for you.
It's the same opportunism that gets us to where we are. It is that whole idea of I will deal with, well, just the British election.
Wait, hold off. Cause we don't know where he's going to land on this yet.
No, I know, but this is that signal.
Okay.
Wait. Are you saying he's not going to land where we think he's going to land?
I don't know where he's going to land. I haven't listened to this yet.
Fuck you! You son of a bitch.
I sincerely don't think it's going to go exactly the way you think.
Okay, well, let's listen to this, and then I'll see if my point is still valid.
All right.
And I went back and did research on Donald Trump. He has supported assault weapons bans. He has supported Democrats more than Republicans in the past. He does own casinos, and I'm not... judging him. I'm a libertarian. You can do that. I don't think it should be illegal, but I have a right to say I think it's degenerate.
You also say
for most people.
Tied.
Yeah.
I'm not a gambler, so, you know, I mean, I've been to Vegas for video shoots before and gone to a roulette wheel, played some blackjack, won money, lost money.
The last time he started talking about that, he was like, I've played some poker, but that's a whole different thing. That's really the only gambling I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now this time, I've been to Vegas and I played a lot of roulette and lost a lot of money.
And the last time he was like, people who run casinos are predators.
Yeah.
Trump is basically, with a name like Trump, you don't get arrested. With one like Genovese, you
do.
Exactly. He said that he's the front man for a consortium on the East Coast.
Yep.
He's not really rich. All of that stuff.
But so, as a libertarian, it's his right to say that.
Yep. So let's continue.
And it's his right to then lie about
watching
what he said
the people there totally enamored in a cult I thought was sick. And knowing that I was being chumped, it's kind of like I smoke marijuana a couple times a year to actually see what the latest stuff does, not
God
because
damn
I like it.
It so You're
I
can so report fucking on it. Stupid.
Well, the 5 or 6 times I've gambled was so I could experience it. True experimentation. And I can tell you, I don't like marijuana. And I don't like gambling. That doesn't mean you should
but
be thrown
I
in jail for
mixing
marijuana.
The two.
It doesn't mean you should
like
be stopped
peanut butter
from gambling.
And chocolate.
But I'm kind of digressing here. I've done deep research into Trump. And I think he is a self-made person. I think he's very articulate, very charismatic, very smart.
No. None
I agree
of those.
About 95% of what he has
those.
To say. When he says bomb the oil fields, that's common sense. I said that 1.5 years ago.
Yikes.
When they first took over, I said blow up the oil fields, fix them later. But our government wants them to have those oil fields. It's a proxy army of Saudi Arabia.
Hmm.
So see, if Trump went further like Rand Paul and said that, then I would really support him. Rand Paul is better, but Rand Paul should be turning up the heat and being a little more like Trump. He should be.
Yeesh.
Quite frankly, as radical as Trump, because Trump's not being radical. And Gary Johnson, I want to get back on the show.
We'll get back to Gary Johnson in a second.
So our problem is basically Rand Paul isn't bigot enough to be president.
Well, no, it's that Rand Paul isn't crazy enough publicly. And
right.
Trump isn't crazy enough in his positions. If you could just get both of those crazies together,
ooh,
then you'd have a candidate.
Oh, then we'd have the whole thing.
Meanwhile, let's remember, a couple of weeks ago, he was saying, I'm Rand Paul or bust, maybe Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
So
we're smoothing the way out.
But he's mad at Gary Johnson. He's going to get into that.
Former New Mexico governor. He's probably been in studio 5, 6 times, probably been on 15 times. And I really disagree with his political points he's trying to get, saying that Trump is catering to racists. In fact, we'll put the actual quote on screen because I'm...
Yeah.
Here it
Trump's
is.
Not
Donald
doing that.
Donald Trump.
I am.
Mm-hmm. Is appealing to racist voters... Says former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson. I don't want to have anything to do with it, Johnson. It's embarrassing to me. And you got Jeb Bush, everybody else saying the same thing. Embarrassing to say the illegal aliens have a lot of hardcore criminals amongst them, and they're committing crimes, and Mexico is dumping its criminals on us. That's what Cuba did. That's what areas of Eastern Europe. It's a fact. It's this attack on reality. So I'll say this.
Yes.
I'm going to give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Because he hasn't backed off and he has lost some money and lost some TV shows over this.
I don't understand why
that's
okay.
And he does say he doesn't
care
about the money now. He doesn't want to lose his country. And it's good to see an old-fashioned, a patriotic Yankee Donald Trump. And a guy like that could unify this country. The problem is, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but he's got to be given the benefit of the doubt. Because he's saying what the other Republicans won't. So I'm going to stop attacking Donald Trump. I've warned, but that said, he's better than anything else we see right now. So what he's saying has to be supported and defended.
Thank you for listening.
It's more important than the man. It's the idea. But I think he's going to betray us. That's what my gut tells me. And Spidey's never wrong.
That's so convoluted.
Maybe his gut was right this time.
Yeah, maybe. But like, isn't that wild?
That's Alex's out. That's his out.
But he can't play it now.
Oh, he could totally play it now.
If he listened to our show.
He knew it the whole time. He can play that. He can be like, listen, I got betrayed.
I got seduced by the charisma.
Yeah. His ideas were right, but he's not following through on those ideas. I told you guys at the beginning, my gut told me that he was going to betray us because he's a secret Democrat and all of this shit. He's got the move. He's got the move. Trump is a globalist.
I legitimately think that he's too far to do that. After, what was it, the middle of January, early February, where he said, I would die for Trump.
Yeah, one's trouble.
I think he's gone too far. He can't play that card now.
Ugh.
But that statement is fucked up. Because he's like, I listened to all these videos, which should have made him be like, whoa, this guy's nuts.
No.
Instead, he's like, oh, he's crazy, but I like that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Look, I know he's mobbed up. I know all this bad shit about him. I'm going to stop attacking him. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, and but he's probably going to betray
us. You can't say I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Trust, but verify.
That's not a good idea.
It's not.
You shouldn't, if you don't give it, look, if you don't trust people,
mm-hmm.
don't give them the benefit of the doubt.
They're usually going to screw you over.
Because that's how you get murdered.
Right. Or you.
Like, hey, I don't trust you in that car. You seem creepy, but you did offer me a ride. My gut tells me you're going to murder me, but I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
It's not necessarily in this case how you get murdered, but it is how you lose your Google ads. It's definitely that. So Alex now is at this point where he's said a whole bunch of stuff about Trump up till this point.
Mm-hmm.
Now he makes this proclamation and he stops talking about Trump.
I think that was my prediction from the beginning. It's the first debate whenever those guys start dropping out.
I don't know.
And Trump pulls the super male vitality moves, standing in the middle, just sitting there. You're a prick. I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that kind of bullshit.
Write down super male vitality because we're going to get back to it.
Do I need to write it down?
Yeah.
Because it's stamped all over my heart.
You do, because we're going to get back to it at the end of this episode in a very weird way.
Of course. Is there any other way to get back to super male vitality?
Nope. So throughout the rest of this episode that we're going to be going over, up until July 21st, I believe, is where we cut off, he doesn't really talk about Trump much at all.
What is he talking about then?
We're going to get into it.
Because it seems like, especially at that time, whenever Trump was rising through and everybody was shocked by it, that's all everybody was talking about.
Well, he talks, he has an interview with Jerome Corsi at one point, which is really boring, and Jerome Corsi says maybe he's real this time, so there's that. They talk about that. I didn't pull a clip of that because it doesn't matter.
They're so fucking stupid.
Around the 19th or 20th, somewhere in there, was when Trump made the claims about John McCain, when he's like, I like heroes who don't get captured.
Yep.
That sort of shit. And Alex, his response to that is, didn't go far enough. Because Alex believes that, as I'll use his quote, John McCain was a trustee at the Hanoi Hilton. He makes the claim that John McCain was never tortured and, in fact, was given pleasure women and fancy meals at the Hanoi Hilton.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He says it's mainstream news.
So what you're saying, what Alex is saying is that the reason John can't raise his arms above his head is he got fucked too hard.
He blew out his obliques.
He got fucked so hard he's paralyzed now.
More or
That's
less.
What we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did try and look into that, and I can't find any verification of that. I did find an article on WorldNet Daily, but it had no sourcing, no like references at all. I found one article that I don't know if I can trust or not that purported to be from somebody who was captured along the same time as him.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't say that he wasn't tortured. It was just saying that
maybe he exaggerated the story, that kind of a thing.
And that there were a lot of people who were there, and his experience is no more severe than any one of the other. And
Which is the point.
And I think that even John McCain would own up to that.
Yeah.
And I think he has.
He was like, hey, we were in a fucking torture camp.
Yeah.
Everybody got tortured.
Mm-hmm. So that's where Alex stands on Trump. Now, this is fun. Because immediately after this on the episode, he has an interview with Jesse Ventura. Ventura comes back, and they talk some more bullshit about his case. But I've just decided to cut all of that out, because in this clip, Jesse Ventura talks some fucking hard truth about Trump.
Oh, really?
That is nice, and Alex can't really handle.
Oh, boy.
And it starts to give you the indication that...
Now is whenever he's starting to turn Trump into his boy.
He's starting to feel the need to defend him, but he can't. He can't, especially not to Jesse Ventura.
Right.
Because Jesse Ventura makes sense.
So elaborate on where you stand on the Donald Trump situation.
Well, first of all, you know, if Mexicans come up here, illegals, and get on our welfare system, if indeed they do that, then blame the people who created a system that allows that to happen, which is your Democrats and Republicans.
Wow, that's a good point.
If they are able to do that, and I don't know if they are or not, but if
that's
they're able to
thought?
Do that, blame the system that allows it to happen instead of blaming the poor person. Second, Second of all, I get irritated because I'm off the grid down there. I live 900 miles in Mexico. And whenever somebody with the stature of Donald Trump makes a statement like he has, believe me, we as Americans down there feel the repercussions of that. All of a sudden, Mexican people stare at us. All of a sudden, you know, hassles start happening. Maybe the federales pull you over more, whatever it might be. But it does nobody any good, because what Donald Trump is saying does nothing but anger Mexican people, because you can't paint them in a broad brush. Certainly there's criminals in Mexico just like there are criminals here. We ought to talk about the fact that we have more people in jail than any other country in the world.
Sure.
So therefore, don't we have the most criminals?
Well, Jesse, I agree with your point that we shouldn't blame the TSA. We should blame our Congress.
That's not the point that Jesse just
made. That is definitely not the point that he just made.
Alex can't at all wrestle with the point that he just made, which is completely fucking valid.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, yeah, don't blame the TSA. That was not what he said. He said, don't blame the immigrants who are exploiting the system.
Blame the system. Yeah. Don't blame poor people for trying to not be poor.
For fighting for their lives, more or less.
Yeah.
Through nonviolent means, too. He Alex interprets that way,
of course,
and that's his response. And then Jesse.
Now here's my question to you.
Yeah.
How are we coming down on that? Because is that Alex understanding the point and then deliberately misleading, or is that Alex absolutely incapable of listening to another human being talk for any length of time?
I think it's the prior.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think he fully gets that, and then he just can't allow that to be...
Yeah. Even Jesse's point that he made there is like, they have criminals there just like we have criminals here. We incarcerate the most people in the world, don't we have the most criminals?
Right.
Which you can't argue with if you're Alex. So he has to change the argument that's being had.
Right.
It's a classic debate tactic. It's minorly gaslighting somebody.
Well, absolutely.
But at the same time, it's just manipulative. And
what's even worse is the idea of agreeing with somebody on something they didn't say so you can move on.
I really hate that Jesse doesn't call him out on it, because clearly Jesse has the kind of status with Alex that he could do that. He doesn't, but he makes another great point.
For doing it. And then Congress sits around criticizing the TSA when they shut it up and control it. So I totally agree with you. I get your point. That said, I don't trust Donald Trump because he supported assault weapons bans, gave money to Hillary Clinton. But I've actually watched his full speeches, and he said they're not sending their good people that have money in many cases that are illegals. He says a lot of them are criminals fleeing justice. Then the media said Donald Trump says Mexicans are crooks. So I think some of that is the media spinning things to make it worse.
Well, that may be true, too, because, you know, as we both know, the media's in the entertainment business, and the more entertainment and spin they can throw on anything sells copy, you know? Look at the trash they give us on TV and make us focus on things that are completely irrelevant.
I agree, but just real quick, you personally have seen a backlash in the last month and a half from this Trump thing?
Have I personally, to me, a backlash? No, other than people know that I know Donald, and they'll ask me, and I just say, look, I don't answer for Donald, but I think what he's saying is utterly preposterous and stupid. I said that, you know, that, to state what he states.
I don't think I dare to
have a president that would say things like that about people of another country. You know, that's not very good diplomacy, in my opinion.
No, I hear your point overall. The problem is, you're in a nice area of the Baja. A lot of Mexico has collapsed.
Do you, Alex?
And so that is a larger problem. I wish Mexico well, but...
Do you, Alex?
So, but you hear that, like, Jesse just made some great points. And also, another thing that's really interesting to point out that they don't get into is that Alex is also in the entertainment business.
I was going to say, like, there might as well have been, like, a giant sign directly above Alex Jones saying... I'm entertaining. Like,
This is about you.
Yeah, exactly.
But then his way of getting out of the first thing that Jesse says is to pretend
it's the TSA.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the way of getting out of the second point that he makes is to say, you live in a
nice area.
Yeah.
You're not experiencing the Mexico that Donald is talking about, so you wouldn't know.
Most of it's collapsed.
So even though I trust you, listen, you're wrong on this one. But I'm not going to say it like you're wrong. I'm just going to be like, hey, you wouldn't know.
Yeah. So anyway, that's...
It's almost like I am saying, because you don't have that personal experience, you perhaps don't understand the entirety of their experience.
Well, Jesse can't conceive of the evil of globalists, apparently.
Right.
Even though he's been the governor of a state.
Globalist governor of the state.
Maybe.
Maybe he got kicked out by the globalists.
But that's, like, that right there is why we still like Jesse Ventura. Like, he has problems.
Yes.
He's not always right. He clearly was fucking around with that lawsuit stuff.
Yeah.
He was misleading people, but he can come with stuff like that, where it's like, hey, good call, man.
That was pretty much right on.
Yeah. You know.
And you know what? I haven't even heard, I don't think I've ever heard somebody make that very simple logical argument there, which is we imprison the most people, so we have the most criminals.
Yeah.
That's your argument. If you're worried about criminals, you don't want Americans coming to your place.
No, and then a sort of a secondary aspect of that argument,
which is always true. You don't want Americans coming anywhere near,
especially
white people.
Unless you're France, then you want our scientists.
Yes, take our scientists.
The secondary aspect of that argument too, if you really want to go with it, is that we have people in prison for bullshit charges, so even the definition of what a criminal is kind of stupid.
Exactly.
So,
and the other thing about that is, once that's the brand now. It's not you committed a crime, it's that you're a criminal, and you're always a criminal.
Well,
and you're always going to be a criminal. And even if you're escaping your life where you were a criminal because, I don't know, one of the Mexican cartels had you and the only way to get out of there was by running away, otherwise they were going to murder you.
Yeah.
You committed a crime, so you're never entitled to do your best to not be a criminal.
Once you're a jet all the way.
Exactly.
So this next clip is really weird. Alex is kind of mad that people are, like, these insurers and hospitals are refusing to treat veterans, but they'll treat illegal immigrants.
Oh, boy.
And so he has a weird fucking theory about it that even internally doesn't make sense.
Okay.
Like, even the words he's saying, if you grant that the beginning of it is true, the middle can't... Just listen to this.
Oh, but if you're illegal, you get the surgery, or you get to have your baby for free. And we're not against these people, but why is it free for them and not for the vets who've earned it? Because the vets are already here and they're done with you. They want new people because we aborted 50 plus million of our kids. So we do need new people here so Social Security doesn't collapse. But they're not even doing that.
What?
They're already raided Social Security.
That's true.
I mean, these are facts.
So he thinks a fact is that we're paying for illegal immigrants' babies to be born in the United States because we've accidentally aborted too many of our own babies.
Right.
And so the only way for Social Security to prop up is by illegal immigrants' babies.
But
we need to kick those babies out.
But we've also already raided Social Security.
Yeah.
It's so convoluted. It's so insane. I don't even know where to, like, poke it. You know, it's one of those, it's like a weird blob that I'm just like, I know I gotta poke
you. Well, I mean, veterans are not treated well.
No.
That's a big problem.
Certainly.
Why are you not focused on them? Just like the Jesse Ventura thing. If like, we have the most criminals, so let's blame the system.
Yeah.
Don't blame the poor people. Don't blame the illegal immigrant who has to have her baby here because she can't afford it anywhere else. Blame the system that is keeping the veterans from getting coverage and keeping the veterans from being helped.
Might be a good plan.
Why wouldn't you do that?
I want to take a moment to give Alex some credit, because even though he does do it in dumb ways that rely on globalists and shit, he does speak a lot about how veterans aren't treated well, and he has a good point there.
Yeah.
Now,
no, that's absolutely true.
Now, the idea that it's some sort of elaborate plot by evil globalists is stupid. It is just...
What is it? Everybody wants the veterans to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to pay for veterans to be taken care of.
Right, right. And
everybody wants healthcare. Nobody wants to pay for healthcare.
Right. It's the... the budgeting is so much on the front end as opposed to the back end.
Right.
It's all, we'll pay for the war, but we won't pay to take care of people.
Of course.
And that's not a globalist plot. That's just people in Congress being fucking stupid.
Yeah, and that's the way
and
every...
being craven.
That's the way every military has always worked.
Now,
or every standing military,
sure.
generally speaking.
Now,
we want you to fight. We don't give a fuck once you're done there.
Jordan, I told you earlier that the show was going to end with a curveball.
Is it going to end with a curveball?
Jade Helm started the day before this.
Yes.
Now, Alex Jones has a statement he wants to make about Jade Helm.
He throws a
they've
mean curveball.
They've been caught lying, so they've
the
tripled
Rockies.
And quadrupled and quintupled and infinitied down with lies. And so now, as I told you, I said when Jade Helm starts the 15th, you are going to see them everywhere say the laughable nut Alex has been discredited. Jade Helm was not martial law. Nothing happened. When we never said it was going to do that, it was further conditioning. And they will just sit there and assault their audience with fraud.
Now, I can't prove what he did or did not say in the past. I can't do that because I'm not going back through more episodes than I need to. I'm listening. We may do that investigation sometime down the line.
Okay.
But it would be hard for me to pinpoint when he started talking about Jade Helm.
Uh-huh.
That'd be very difficult to get the timeline on. But what I can do is tell you that at the end of this episode, he gets a caller from Alabama who...
We're already off to a great start. I love random InfoWars callers from Alabama. I'm sure there's a lot of insight coming from there.
So Alex, on this very show, has said that people are going to lie and say that Jade Helm... I say that Jade Helm is somehow real.
Yeah.
And people taking over.
Right. And they're doing that on purpose. They're
right.
conditioning you to believe that it's never going to be martial law. And then whenever it's not this time, they can turn me into the boy who cried wolf.
Uh-huh.
And that means that you'll be even more of a sheep the next time. That means you'll be ready. You'll be primed whenever they're going
to
do it.
Now, one very important thing to keep in mind for those of you who didn't keep up with Jade Helm conspiracy theories. One of the big things that the internet was going wild on is claiming that there were a bunch of Walmarts that had been closed down and there were secret tunnels for military and UN forces to go under. That they were going to use them as like depot points because they're giant buildings and they're inconspicuous when they're closed.
Right.
So all of these Walmarts had closed down. They're like, oh fuck, they're using them. There's tunnels there. So that was a big part of that stuff. Alex,
that's one of those things that if you're a conspiracy theorist seems like a great plan.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, that's genius. I know how genius that is. But then if you're actually trying to do it logistically, you're like, this is a dumb fucking plan. We have roads.
We can
just use roads.
I can only come out of, in or out of these tunnels at a Walmart.
Yeah, what? Why would we do that?
So now the reason that I bring that up is because Walmart will play into this caller. And let's see how Alex responds to this caller. It's
now, John in Alabama, finish your point. You said you were, you said you're there in Alabama outside the airbase and there's just troops suddenly with name tags off everywhere. Yeah, that's what's happening. That's part of Jade Helm that is in Alabama. They expanded it to Alabama. It was 7 states. It's now 10. And it's just, I mean, I see it myself. I couldn't wreck and get video of it, but I was in San Marcos yesterday doing an investigation that we're working on, and I saw a black MRAP driving the other side of the road. And then I saw Homeland Security people in blue uniforms walking out of a gas station when I was getting gas. And they knew who I was, by
the
way, and saw me and kind of did like this and got in their vehicle.
Also, getting into a lot of details for him to be telling the truth on this one.
Also, he said that he couldn't get a video of that car on the road without crashing. You could have taken a picture of these guys at a gas station.
Nope.
That would have been simple enough, Alex. You want to just, you could have, you were stationary. It would be no problem.
Homeland Security in blue uniforms is the beginning of any lie.
Right.
Anytime, if there's a color involved,
mm-hmm.
he's making it up.
Yep. Well, let's see.
I'm not kidding. I mean, as soon as I looked over the gas thing and these people were getting their car, it was two older guys with short beards. They just went, oh, God, that's Alex Jones. We are just overrun with DHS. So tell us what you saw in Walmart.
Okay. I've always been the type of guy, mind my own business, until all this stuff started happening.
I get it. You're just a regular guy. What'd you see?
And it affects me as an American citizen. And, I was raised on patriotic beliefs to stand for and uphold the Constitution because all the men in my family were in the military. And I'm in Walmart the other night down here. It was real close to 1 o'clock in the morning if it wasn't 1 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, fine. What'd you see?
I'm walking through there, and I see these two guys in black suits, and then they've got other guys around them. They're talking to a Walmart manager.
Now, hold on.
Two guys in black suits talking to a manager? Clearly something nefarious.
Two guys in black suits. I'm thinking it's the Men in Black. Now, call me biased, but when I see the black suits coming, I nod my head. Black suits coming, nod your head. That's the theme for Men in Black 2.
I know.
All right.
And I walk past, and, you know, people can tell me I'm crazy, full of crap, whatever. Like, I tried to take a picture, and they took my phone. They had UN badges on their lapels. The little globe with the leaves, the same thing on their flag was on their lapels. They had ID badges to Fort Rooker, UN personnel. Like, they are here in America, man. They don't want anybody to know. As soon as I tried to take a picture of the guy, I was tackled to the ground by what I'm assuming is his bodyguards, arrested by the city police, and my phone was taken, and they still haven't got it back.
All right. Okay, if this is true, and I believe you, look out. We're going to jump on an airplane right now. I want you to put you on hold. I want you to scan whatever email, the arrest, the paperwork, and we will send reporters up there. Because, you know, that is just outrageous. And sir, there are UN troops all over the place. They have Russian troops. And I heard about this years before it was confirmed, training to take on domestic groups. It's all part of secret treaties, and the treaties are breaking up right now. But yes, they have Russian troops training at secret bases in Denver and Colorado Springs.
Space Command.
This even came out
Space
in the Denver
Command.
Post. They admitted it's secret.
Space Command.
To take on domestic groups. So it's a global government. It's State Department Memorandum 7277. Freedom from war.
So I looked that up. I read...
Wait. Here's the bigger question.
Uh-huh.
How does he know the secret treaties?
Right.
Which
that are breaking up.
That's my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
The secret treaties.
Sure.
You know the secret treaties.
Of course. They're in the white paper.
How does he know they're breaking up?
That's in the white papers too.
But why would they be breaking up if everything's still going fine?
I don't know. It's so stupid.
Why throw that little bit, the secret treaties, which are breaking up? You could have just said the secret treaties. You would have been fine.
So
you've already made up enough lies, Alex.
Yeah.
You don't need to further compound it.
Take a break. So I looked up the memorandum that he was talking about, the Freedom from War State Department Memorandum
7277749er.
It was written in September of 1961, and it is the Freedom from War, the United States program for general and complete disarmament for a peaceful world. So it's mostly in concern about the rapid growth of post-nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
And
the insanely rapid growth.
So they want, whoever wrote this, the people who were behind this memorandum, by the way, memorandum, not a law.
Nope, binding. Agenda 217727.
You know what memorandum shortens to? Memo.
Yeah.
It's a note.
It's a little note.
It's a note.
Yeah.
It's not binding.
7277.
So this is basically aspiring towards disarmament.
Right.
And it is, if you're crazy, it looks bad. Because it does talk about how the end goal is getting rid of armies in every country. Because
isn't that the end goal?
I think it is.
Shouldn't that be the end goal?
I think it is.
Don't we want to become a type 1 civilization?
It would be nice.
Wouldn't that be better for everybody?
But the primary piece of it is nuclear disarmament.
Right.
It's talking about these technologies that are completely capable of destroying the entire world, setting us off on a trajectory that we don't even know what it would lead to. That's the first step of it. And then eventually gradual disarmament of armies and creating peacekeeping organizations that will be involved with mitigating crises,
yeah,
and conflicts between states could be hashed out as opposed to war.
Right.
It's idealistic as fuck.
Of course.
But the one thing that's really important about it is it doesn't talk about UN forces hanging out, Russian secret training, or anything like that. And further,
that's in secret memo 2072-77.
The first part of it is not achieved. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people still have nukes. So, like, even...
You could almost say too many nukes.
The beginning pieces of it haven't been successfully implemented. It's like his fear of that Cloward and Piven plan that he brings up over and
right,
over again.
Right.
It's like, that wasn't implemented. Someone wrote about it. Some professor wrote that, like, oh, hey, if we overwhelmed the welfare system, people would have to take it more seriously.
It's fiction.
Yeah.
It's like he's saying, you know, Aldous Huxley, he's the one who knew. Mm. That's what we're living in now.
I think he would say that.
I think he would say that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the point. It's all speculative fiction.
Yep.
That's the issue, that he just can't discern what is, like, do you ever stop and think, like, oh, we created all of the weapons necessary to kill all of us, and we just have them lying around.
And we have for a long time.
Getting old.
Yeah.
Like, there are still nuclear weapon systems that use floppy disks.
Yep.
And we're just fine with that.
It's
we're
crazy.
Just like, yeah, this is great. I'm sure that'll never be a problem.
It's absolutely insane.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And the idea that you wouldn't be on board with just a vague, just like, hey, maybe let's try and get to a point where we're not always on the edge of global destruction.
I'd need to study this memorandum a little closer in order to have, like, an assessment on it, but just from my read of it, my once through reading, I would say it is a great goal, but it is way too idealistic to work in reality. But yeah,
in the near future.
In a general sense, taking the memorandum out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't you want war to stop? What vested interest, other than making money, do people have in war continuing?
Population control.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah.
Dominance.
So anyway.
Good cultures versus bad cultures, Dan.
Nationalism.
We don't start wars for any other reason than to make their culture better.
Nationalism, prosperity.
Yeah, that's what it's about. Second Amendment. Second Amendment.
So
private property.
Alex puts him on hold. And then he has an interview that's really boring with Jerome Corsi.
Then we get him back. Also, whenever he was like, scan the paperwork, I was like, oh, we're not going to hear from this fella again.
I'm going to confirm that at least as of July 22nd, this has not come back up.
No.
And I guarantee it doesn't ever.
Yeah.
But he does come back after the Jerome Corsi interview, and shit gets real.
Now, John in Alabama, thank you for holding. If folks just joined us,
what was John doing while
you live in Alabama, outside an airbase, and you're in there at Walmart at 1 a.m. a few days ago, and they grab you, take you to jail, but don't charge you and say, come back later. I've seen that with demonstrators before, and you were there, and there were guys with UN name tags with a guy in a black uniform, and they tackled you, and the police came and took you to jail.
He said not necessarily uniform.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And if this is true.
Which it isn't.
It's incredible. What else can you tell us about this? What did the police say to you in the squad car? Was anything else said to you?
Well, Alex, I don't know about how censorship is on your show, so I'm pretty sure I can't quote them verbatim. But in a nutshell, they told me that I effed up by wanting to get picture happy with my iPhone. And, you know, I told them I was just, I mean, I could be wrong, but I told them I was exercising my First Amendment right, freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of assembly. And they didn't care. Like, my iPhone is probably no more, but.
Wait, they didn't even give you your iPhone? They didn't give you your phone back?
No. When I left the city jail, they told me that I could pick my iPhone up when I picked my paperwork up. And, you know, I've you know, like
you
I told you earlier,
you
know, before
up.
You went to break earlier, you know, I've been arrested a few times. I know the ins and outs of it. You're supposed to be formally charged. You're supposed to get paperwork as soon as you get kicked loose, whether it's you have to pay to get out or you get a recognizance bond, a property bond, what have you, and they give you your property back.
Well, sir, here's the deal. I would call the local media and I would say, troops stole my iPhone at the Walmart. They won't give it back. That's a news story. And if they won't cover it, we'll come up there. And I'll go in there with a video camera to the police department and say, give him his iPhone back and let them try to arrest me. That's fine if they do. But I believe you. I've had similar things happen to me. This is incredible. Describe these UN troops for us. How were they dressed? What the uniforms look like? Where were they in the Walmart? Break it down for us.
Okay. The men that I saw in the Walmart, the gentlemen that I'm presuming are bodyguards because they're the ones that pulled
what I'm assuming is Glock 17s because that's standard issue sidearm.
Oh, they pulled firearms on you?
I really don't
like
that.
Yeah, yes, yes. They drew down on me in Walmart while two of them, there was a total of six. Four of them drew down on me and covered me while two of them took me to the ground.
Well, that's unprecedented. Armed troops pulled a gun on you.
Armed in plain clothes, and I'm assuming that they were protecting the two men in the suits with the badges on their lapel. And, like, I didn't mean them any harm, you know, I mean.
No, I understand. It was some type of diplomats or something that think they're God.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
Or they're just under threat by random hillbillies at 1 in the morning.
No resistance at all because
we're almost out of time. What else happened? What else happened?
Okay, they detained me and held me on the ground. One of them had a knee in my back, holding both my hands behind my back, and I let it go on. And then the city police arrived, and they carted me off to jail. And, you know, I got out a couple hours later on what they said was a recognizance bond. You know, in good faith, I'll show up.
All right, brother, here's the deal. I'm going to send a reporter up there. I believe you. We need to go back to Walmart, recreate it. We need to go to the police department. This is huge. Armed UN forces tackling and then robbing a citizen's iPhone and taking him to jail.
This is not the behavior of someone who doesn't believe Jade Helm is real.
Yeah.
This is the behavior of someone who's looking for a way to believe it's real, but knowing without concrete evidence he's going to be made fun of.
Yeah.
So he gets this hillbilly caller on the air,
right,
who's clearly lying to him.
Just beautifully lying.
Here's what I would say. Something is missing from that story.
Especially because the number of people involved keep going up.
It does change a little
bit. I saw two guys in black suits.
Talking to the manager.
Oh, there were bodyguards. He had a bodyguard. Then it became he had bodyguards.
Yeah.
Then they pulled Glock 17s on him.
First they took his phone, then they tackled him, then they pulled guns on him.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. I believe.
Also, the fact that he just casually references Glock 17s is like, no, I don't like that at all.
Very specific.
I don't like that at all.
I am not saying that he's making something up out of whole cloth, but there's some element of the story that's missing. Maybe he was high.
Well, police did also tell him that he couldn't bring that brown bag inside the Walmart.
Why the fuck would you be at a Walmart at 1 in the morning if you're not high? Also, I don't know any reason to go to Walmart.
He ran out of socks. He ran out of socks.
Because he smoked them all.
Have you he smoked them? Alright. Alright, you're unfairly drawing Alabama hillbillies in a broad brush.
And I say, boy, howdy to your boys down there in Alabama. That was too bayou. I don't
like that. Yeah, that was way too bayou.
It's tough for me to slide right into the South or Midwest. Anyway,
slide right into my DMs.
That's it for the 16th of the show. Alex invalidates his own claim that he's not buying into Jade Helm by buying in real hard for a random caller. He has been schooled by Jesse Ventura, but he's also teased his heel turn about Trump.
Yes.
It's very clear that it's only a matter of time now after July 16th.
Right.
Until he inevitably does get in. And is it just the bigotry? I don't know.
It sure seems like it.
Kind of does at this point.
It seems like really all he's interested in is the fact that Trump says we should hate immigrants.
Yeah.
That's basically all he's...
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I was going to cut it off at the 16th for this episode.
Right.
But we have to talk about the 17th.
Okay, what happened on the 17th?
The 17th is one of my favorite Alex Jones episodes I've ever listened to. And I'm just going to play the beginning of the show and you'll see why.
Well, I'm going to jump the shark intentionally at the start of the next segment. So call your friends and family.
What does that mean?
And tell them to tune into the broadcast.
What does that even mean?
When we start the next segment in exactly 7 minutes, 12 seconds from now. So start the countdown. Get ready. Because
7 minutes and 8
we
seconds.
We are going
7 minutes
to
and 7 seconds.
Be breaking
7 minutes and 6
down
seconds.
Some information that may actually shake large portions of the population out of their mind control.
So, is that what jumping the shark is?
I guess so.
What is jumping the shark? What does he think it means? He uses it a
Fortune
lot.
Fortune favors the bold.
He doesn't know what it means.
He doesn't understand aphorisms.
He really doesn't.
Unfortunately, he does literally jump the shark.
Okay.
This episode is embarrassing.
Okay.
So I don't want to spoil for you what the actual jumping of the shark is.
I don't understand, again, what it is we're talking about, but I'm excited to find out.
I don't know if it's going to work better if I just spell it out up top.
No, I want to hear it. I want to hear it cold.
Okay, so I have split up the actual shark jump. I have
into three parts. Preparation.
No, it's the, six.
The buying of water skis.
Motorcycle.
Definitely got to get a motorcycle there.
Yeah. Oh, it is, that's right. It is water skis. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot.
What was it? Happy Days.
Yeah, but he also jumped something on a motorcycle at some point.
They got very into the jumping of things.
There are six parts to this shark jump.
Okay.
And each one of them is held up by a complete bullshit lie.
All right.
One of his tent posts, one of his waypoint stories that he's been telling. We haven't really dealt with a lot of the 2015 tent posts, the waypoints. So we get to take care of like all of them in one fell swoop during this jumping of the shark. It's amazing.
Okay.
So here we go. We're going to start it off with the first clip. This is 7 minutes and a couple seconds after the last one.
Hey!
The terror threats are being used to take our freedoms.
Agreed.
The Fair Patriot enough. Act is used 99%+ of the time against non-terror-related cases to overturn the Bill of Rights and Constitution.
Perfect. Stop there.
Now, that
Full
said,
stop.
Political correctness.
Whole thing's
if
done.
Anything is hurtful to anyone, they're saying it's banned. That's totalitarianism. So what we need is some strong medicine to force the logical point, to force the debate, to have the controlled traitor media attack us for making this point, and then to have the American public have a logical discussion. Now, they will take
That's
what I'm about to say
plan.
Out of context. This is a big announcement.
How is that an announcement?
But it's not done satirically. It's done at a level of logical discussion. If we're going to ban paper bags that are brown in Seattle government because someone might be hurt that they're brown bags, no one ever said brown bags, anything to do with racism. They just say it to set the precedent they can ban or restrict whatever they want.
So that's the first waypoint, is that they're outlawing brown bags in Seattle. They're not. This was based on a memo that a Seattle, the Elliot Bronstein, the chief spokesman for the Seattle Office of Civil Rights, advised the city's public information officers to avoid the phrase brown bag and use terms like sack lunch or lunch and learn, according to a memo, which is being widely misreported as an order or a ban. Now, the reason that he did this was, okay, I'm just going to read his quote.
I assume it has something to do with alcohol.
No.
Oh.
This issue came up in one of the departments, and I thought I'd send it around as an FYI for your consideration, the memo reads. We often use the expression brown bag to designate a bring-your-own-lunchtime event. We also use the word citizens as a synonym for residents. Innocuous phrases, right? It went on. Not so much. For some people, the phrase brown bag calls up ugly associations with the use of the expression brown bag to determine if people's skin color was light enough to allow admission to an event or a home. Citizens is a different case. We sometimes use it as another way of saying members of the public, except for all the members of the public who aren't actually citizens, who live and work here. It's basically the chief spokesman for the Office of Civil Rights issued a memo to city employees that ask them to be more sensitive.
Yeah.
Because there is a history of it. I've looked into it. There
right.
is, that's not made up.
No, of course.
The idea of passing.
Any reference to racism in American history, even if I have no context for it, I'll be like, yeah, that's probably true.
I think that this is probably stretching a little bit in terms of the descriptors of this bag is brown.
Yeah.
It's not, but at the same time.
It's just, he's just saying, you know, like,
be sensitive.
Language is important. Be specific with your words.
Yeah.
That's all he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times, just be more specific.
Sack lunch is no more difficult to say. It's no less descriptive.
No.
So, I mean.
And it's not a ban. It was him being like, hey, try and do this.
Yep. But at this point, the shark jump has been described.
Also, the plan that he has
right
is so mind-bogglingly stupid,
and we don't even know what exactly it is yet,
but his plan,
he's going to say something.
What he's outlined,
yeah.
his idea of how this is going to work
right
is he's going to say something intentionally
fucked up,
yeah so that the media will report on it,
yeah,
but even though it's intentionally fucked up, they're going to take him out of context.
Right.
Which boggles the mind even further.
Well, here's what he's trying to do.
And then that will force everyone to come together and have a conversation about how stupid the fucked up thing he said was.
More or less. What he's trying to play the Mark Dice game on a pro level.
Yeah.
But what he doesn't realize is the Mark Dice game only works because it's a closed loop. You don't have any rogue actors in there like the actual media. So, like, the media is not going to play along with this the way you play along with Mark Dice's reporting and create your circle of propaganda. They are going to take it on its face. They're going to deal with what you say and be like, holy shit. And we'll get to it.
And even then, they could just go back and listen to the first part where he said, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yep, that is a problem too.
If you're trying to trick people, don't tell people you're tricking them.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a problem. Alex is dumb though. And it's so fucking hilarious for him just
although, then again, that is Jerome Corsi's plan.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Fair enough.
It's what they do.
Yeah. Okay. This time, we're actually going to do propaganda.
Yeah.
Jerome, Corsi, buddy, baby. You're way past that.
I'm going to be paying thousands of dollars for people to soy bomb CNN.
Yeah, dude, no.
All right.
Not a propaganda campaign.
So
campaign.
He goes on. And like I said, I didn't cut anything out. These are just segmented. I took a break pretty much whenever he got to one of his lies.
Uh-huh.
Seattle brown bag shit is a complete misrepresentation and a lie, as we come to expect from Alex. Here's the next one.
If we're going to tell kids nationwide in public schools under No Child Left Behind, you're purple penguins, you can't be a boy or girl, it might hurt someone that doesn't identify as a boy or girl. If you can't have your identity because it might hurt someone else, that is the greatest form of oppression psychologically I could imagine.
So this is another one of his big waypoints.
But can't you just for one second turn that around? Like, hey, if you can't have your identity because it hurts somebody else.
Like Alex?
Yeah. Like, maybe think about how your identity has hurt somebody else a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe somebody else can't have their identity because you don't want to feel bad.
You're on a real interesting tip that Alex is not interested in.
He cannot grapple with.
Nope.
How is it that you just can't grapple with the turn it the other way?
Right.
It's not even hard. It's super easy. Like, if I feel one way and I don't like that, what if somebody else who isn't me feels that way?
It's like if he sees the letter A right here.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, that's the letter A. And then it moves a little bit over there. He's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you not just take that little step?
Yeah. So would you like to learn about this waypoint?
Sure.
Alex has been saying for a really long time, and I don't think I've played it on the show, that nationally in schools, they're telling kids that they can't be boys or girls anymore. They have to be purple penguins.
Yes. That'd be fun.
And this is because saying boys and girls are hurtful to trans-identifying students.
Which doesn't make any sense.
He's stupid. But here's the thing. If you look into it, this is based on a story out of Lincoln, Nebraska, specifically. And there were some materials that were provided to teachers by a group called the Gender Spectrum, which is an organization whose website states a goal of fostering, quote, gender-sensitive and inclusive environment for all children and teens. So inside their materials, it has this. I'll just read this quote. Don't use phrases such as boys and girls, you guys, ladies and gentlemen, and similarly gendered expressions to get kids' attention, instructs a training document given to middle school teachers at the Lincoln Public Schools. Create classroom names and then ask all the purple penguins to meet on the rug. The document also warns against asking students to line up as boys and girls and suggests asking them to line up whether they prefer skateboards or bikes, milk or juice, dogs or cats, summer or winter, talking or listening.
Oh, do you mean by who you are as a person as opposed to what you have between your legs?
Yeah, and it goes on to say, always ask yourself, will this configuration create a gendered space? The document asks.
Now, I think that's actually a very smart thing.
Yeah.
That sounds really dumb.
What do you mean?
I just mean that it has the ring of like even while
everything that has to do with kids is dumb.
Right.
To adults.
Well, but that's that. No, I mean, that's that angle. Like, I immediately have that knee jerk reaction of like, dudes, you're going overboard with this. Let's just, but that makes perfect sense in the, in just in a form of education.
Yeah.
Just like that idea of, we're not immediately putting you into your blue and your pink.
Yeah.
You're given your choice.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I am not a boy or a girl. I am somebody who enjoys this. I am a person first.
Yeah.
With my own thoughts and feelings, and I'm not whatever you tell me I am,
mm-hmm.
and I'm allowed to choose and grow in the way that I want to. And, that makes sense.
And the
I like it.
The arbitrary specific of purple penguins in that readout in that.
Yeah, that's just little group names.
Yeah, just create teams within the classroom and give them names.
Yeah,
why not?
That's like getting mad at Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, silver monkeys.
Yeah,
very racist.
Exactly.
Very racist.
Very unhappy with
also,
that.
Also, the Shrine of the Silver Monkey. Or that one where you had to put the three pieces of the monkey together
and no one
could ever fucking do it.
Yeah.
I remember I screamed at the TV about that when I was a kid. And then someone made a group about it on Facebook like years and years ago. I'm like, you fucking asshole. Now I can't complain about it. Now it's hacky for me to remember that it made me mad. I'm like, God damn it.
Do you know what's even worse? You can't complain about it also because one of the reasons that it was so hard for them was because they were shooting for like 12 or 14 hours straight.
Oh, another reason is most of them weren't tall enough to put the head on.
Yeah.
So
there were many issues with Legend of the Hidden Temple.
So, you know, people got mad about this, and by people, I mean Alex.
Yeah.
But there's more. So Brenda Ligario, the Lincoln Public Schools Coordinator for Social Workers and Counselors, clarified to the Lincoln Journal Star after the issue gained widespread attention. The materials were provided as guidelines for educators to better understand gender identity issues and were not intended to impose rules mandating how those issues should be addressed. Quote, the handouts provided by a staff member on a district equity team were meant only for teachers, not for students or parents, she said.
Of course.
And they were not meant as rules staff had to follow, but as suggestions for how teachers can make students feel comfortable. It also stresses the impact words can have on others. If there's a staff member that's uninformed and unsupportive, that can be a pretty scary, that can be pretty scary for a family, maybe struggling to understand transgender issues themselves. So that just sounds like a really good progressive school district, quite frankly.
Do you know what it always brings me back to, almost all of this. Almost all of this always winds up boiling down into, be thoughtful.
Right.
Like one of the,
Alex hates that.
I'm a huge, I read the Tao like 10 million times when I was growing up. And just one of those very simple things was always be mindful, be thoughtful with your actions.
Yeah.
Think before you just randomly or, you know, just like think about how does this make somebody else feel first instead of, I want to do it, so I'm going to. It's a great ideal. I mean, it never happens.
No,
right?
No. So to make matters worse for Alex's narrative, the Lincoln Public School Superintendent Steve Joel pushed back against what he said was a misinformed reaction to the district's gender identity training by national commentators and news outlets.
Right.
Quote, it's indeed regrettable for the last week and a half we've had to dedicate as much staff time and resources to address an issue that is not founded in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Never once has anyone inside our school mandated that a teacher take the words boys or girls or ladies and gentlemen out of their interactions with children or interaction with adults.
Of course.
This was about adults, professional educators who care deeply about trying to reach and establish relationships with children. They are looking for strategies about how to be more effective in the classroom.
Right.
So fuck you, Alex. You're a liar.
Get mad about real shit. Why do they have to make things up to be angry about?
But bro, that's what I'm talking about. That's why this is jumping the shark. He's accidentally doing what he's parodying.
Yeah, that's true.
He thinks he's doing it satirically, but he's going overboard on his narratives in one chunk. So this next clip, he actually jumps the shark.
Okay.
He does the jump that he had prepared,
okay,
which is crazy. And then it ends, this clip ends with another lie.
That's the wildest cult programming that I could ever even envision in my mind.
Really?
Period.
There's way better cult programming.
So to assault these people, we have to point out that what they're doing is unconstitutional, it's tyrannical, it's totalitarian, it's oppressive, it's cultic, but also it can't be selectively enforced. It can't be discriminatory. And so,
okay.
If we have radical Muslims being brought in by the hundreds of thousands a year,
that doesn't
from everywhere
sense.
From Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait.
Name two more countries.
Areas of northeastern Africa like Somalia.
One.
Who are then constantly getting caught trying to carry out attacks or who are carrying out attacks against soft targets. Well, if it's hurtful to people, they're doing that. And if we blame all white people for the shooter in Charleston, the deranged shooter, and if we blame the Confederate battle flag for that, then I'm calling for all Muslim symbols to be removed, and I'm calling for all mosques in the United States to be shut down, and I'm calling for all self-identifying Muslims of any type to be deported to their original country of origin, even if it was, if they've been here 200 years. I want all Muslims deported now. And I want all Muslims to have their mosque shut down and their minarets removed and their symbols removed. And anyone wearing a crescent moon around their neck, I want them arrested. Because we've got police showing up at swap meets, you know, saying they're there to arrest people selling rebel flags. Total tyranny, hardcore oppression.
So we'll get back.
Well then, let's see it.
We'll get back to that rebel flag thing in a minute.
Of course. Oh, I didn't think he was going to let the rebel flag go the moment the rebel flag.
Oh no,
came
I
up.
Meant I'm going to get back to it.
Oh,
in
okay.
A minute. But so just to sort of dispense with why that argument is really stupid.
That's the dumbest argument.
Well, but just to lay it
now,
out.
Is that
just to lay it out, because he thinks he's being logical.
Right.
And he's not. There's a really foundational problem with the way he's presenting this. And that is, in order for his argument to make sense, then the Confederacy or worship of the Confederate flag would have to be a federally protected group. It would have to be a religion.
Yeah.
So he,
in a lot of ways, it basically is.
But in order for him to make this argument logically sound, he actually, it does work. It's just all his premises are wrong. Like it works as a logical, like, oh, okay, yeah. I mean, it's you're dumb, but like it does strictly work.
I don't understand how you think it works.
Well, because. Well, it doesn't.
Because it doesn't.
Because it doesn't have to be true for it to actually work logically.
No,
he's saying if Muslims attacking people hurts someone, and if the Confederate flag being hung hurts someone, we take down symbols of the Confederate flag when a Confederate person or someone inspired by the Confederate flag hurts people. Therefore, we should take down all symbols of Muslim people when a person inspired by Islam attack somebody. It actually does work, strictly speaking, in terms of A then B, B then C, C then D. It's stupid, but it doesn't matter.
I mean, is that why? Okay, yeah, I see where you're coming from. You're right. It is just that the premises are so stupid.
Well, and the premises don't. It's the difference.
And they're not a one-to-one premise, though.
No, it's the difference between valid and sound when you're talking about logic. You can have a valid argument that's not sound.
Right, because it's made up.
Right. In order to have sound arguments, you need to have true premises that
right.
lead to a conclusion. It needs to be in the proper form, and things have to be true. You can have a valid argument that's not sound if you just have bullshit in there. You can just have lies. But as long as it's set up right,
Right. I get what you're saying.
Truth can't lead to falsity. Falsity can lead to truth. Basically.
I gotcha. So, I see what you're saying.
So the thing is, like I said, the really big thing is that in order for you to make this argument and make it work, you have to put in something that makes the Confederacy which is a rogue, failed insurgency, basically. That has to be exactly the same as a religion. And if you want to make that argument, Alex, you can, but then you have to say a whole bunch of other shit.
Yeah.
It implies a bunch of stuff that I don't think he realizes he's implying.
That would be an interesting, I mean, because it, for a lot of people, it does function as something of a religion.
Or at least,
I mean,
at
even
least
the
an
idea,
ideology.
Well, I mean, the idea that the South will rise again very much has those religious overtones.
Jesus will rise.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, and then the fervency of the belief in the flag itself.
Right.
And, you know, it's very much it is a worship. We worship the past. Like,
sure.
Could you see Confederacy becoming a religion. A federally protected religion.
No.
The people who believe that we should have the Confederate flag hanging should have to agree to go to church together.
No.
And worship that flag.
No, I don't think so. But also, like, see, this is the thing that I find the most interesting about people trying to use logic who don't know anything about logic.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you make arguments like the one Alex is making, you have a bunch of, they're not really even assumptions, but they're implied premises that you don't really even realize are in there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make your argument, you're actually saying a ton more than you're actually, like, getting to.
Right.
And that is one of them. And the other thing is, like, like I said, things have to be true. People weren't calling.
Ha ha! Dan! Dan, you sweet, naive child.
Well, I'm just saying, technically.
Dan, you're such a beauty to see your wide-eyed optimism.
Yeah.
Saying that things have to be true.
Well, to be sound, like I said.
Yeah.
To be sound. So, the other thing that he's not taking into consideration is that people weren't saying we should ban the Confederate flag. There were just a bunch of businesses that got pressure from people who didn't want them to sell it, and they replied to the free market. They made a decision based on what their consumers were saying. Places right. like Walmart stopped selling the flag because...
Free market.
Yeah. So Alex should be thrilled with that.
Well, yeah, but they're not bringing prosperity back. They're bringing free market, but it's not prosperity.
So secondarily...
And as we all know, prosperity is about that battle flag.
Secondarily... people wanted the Confederate flag taken out of state buildings because, of course, it should not be in government buildings.
Yeah.
So
that's such a weird.
So
idea.
Those were the real.
That's like if North Vietnam was hanging a United States flag.
So here's the other thing: if he wants to make the argument based on reality, which I think might be a better argument to make, because I agree with him. If you were making this argument,
right.
Which is. Well, actually, I wouldn't agree with him if he was using terrorism as one of the foundational premises, but be that as it may, if he's saying people, in reality, are trying to ban the Confederate flag being flown in government buildings.
Right.
And they're doing that because it hurts people. Some people are offended by Islam, whether or not that's rational is another question.
Mm-hmm.
So the Islamic flags should not be flown in our government state buildings.
Well, yeah, but they shouldn't be.
Right.
So, neither should the Confederate flag.
Right, but if he's making that argument,
yeah.
Then cool.
Right.
But he's saying on their own property.
Right.
He's going so far, but I know he's doing it satirically.
Well, he's doing it satirically.
Right, I understand that. I understand that he's not literally calling for these things. But the form he's using is so flawed.
Yeah.
Like, he just... It drives me up a fucking wall.
Yeah.
I could spend half an hour
talking about
all the bullshit.
Yeah.
So he ends that, though, with the
You're being a pedant is really what's going on.
I am flashing into the part of myself that should have been a professor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I looked into the idea that people were storming swap meets and trying to get the Confederate flag taken down.
Yeah, what
arresting,
was that all about?
Arresting people for selling Confederate
arresting
flags.
Arresting people? That you can't do that.
So I looked it up, and I accidentally Googled Confederate flag arrests, and what I found was a couple of bad stories. One is, I'll just read you this headline, tell you a little bit about it.
Somebody just arrested a Confederate flag?
Put it in cuffs. They waved the Confederate flag and a shotgun at a black child's party. Now they're headed to prison on terrorism charges.
Yeah.
So that's one story I found. Another one, a man bombed Walmart because it stopped selling Confederate flag in Mississippi. Another one.
No. I know what you're saying. It seems bad. But was anybody arrested for selling the Confederate flag?
I did find one story about... police and a swap market or a swap meet.
Okay. All right.
A shopper perusing the merchandise at a Redwood County flea market was so offended by a vendor selling Confederate and Nazi historical memorabilia, the person actually called 911. Wallingsford, Connecticut police were dispatched to the flea market to investigate. The police chief, William Wright, tells News 8, the reason no one was arrested was because the items were being sold on private property. Not to mention... No
laws. Because of course.
No laws were broken.
Because of course.
There was a table set up with this material, Wright says, according to the journal record. It's not criminally illegal, but obviously it offended this person. It causes some people a sense of being uncomfortable. Certainly the owner could preclude this merchandise. He said he could, if he wanted to.
It's a choice. Could do that.
Yeah. The town resident who called 911 said that there were helmets with swastikas, images of Hitler, and other historical Nazi items. Quote, I was shaking and almost vomiting, he tells the paper. I had to run.
Do not turn on the History Channel.
My grandmother had numbers, he said, referring to the digits Nazis would tattoo on their prisoners.
Oh, shit.
The caller complained that the Confederate items were, quote, not authentic, and replicas of flags and weapons. He said the seller told him he was, quote, selling so much he can't keep it in stock. So basically what happened, this has to be the story he's talking about. It's from around the same time. It's a flea market.
It's police
coming in. I couldn't find any other stories.
Nobody got arrested for selling the flag.
Right. He's just completely making that part up out of whole cloth. It's absolutely absurd.
Well, I think his argument would be that liberal snowflakes want people arrested for selling the Confederate flag. You know, those liberal snowflakes who survived the Holocaust.
Or if their family did.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't even know if he would want that guy arrested. I don't know. The calling the police part is a little strange,
that
but I get where he's
strange.
Coming from.
Right.
It's, look, I don't know. I'm not.
Also, I liked the fact that at the end he was like, and the shit wasn't even real.
Well, that's just getting a, that's just getting a nice little jab in.
I know. That's some good stuff right there.
Yeah. So he's,
I'm a big fan of this dude.
Alex is not done with his shark jumping rant. He has a couple more, things he wants to bring in. Here's one of them. And again, I didn't cut anything out. It's just segments.
Let's see if the controlled left won't just edit what I just said and will take it in context. Because the truth
we
is.
Did.
Most Muslims aren't radicals. Most Muslims aren't terrorists. The truth is that in general, the people coming to this country just want to work and be successful and are fleeing the oppression of radical Islam.
You should stop there.
I know a lot of Muslims. I went to school with a lot of Muslims. I don't support blaming all Muslims for what just happened. But you know what? There have been a lot of Muslim groups allied with the left who are calling to remove the Confederate flag and who are getting into this whole anti-Anglo-Saxon, anti-white garbage.
Should've
and
stopped.
So it's time
Should've
for
stopped.
White people and anyone else that doesn't want to be oppressed to say, I'm not going to be blamed for what somebody else does. But if you want to play by that game, we know statistically over 95% of terrorism in the world is carried out by Islamic extremists. The rest by criminal groups who want ransoms.
That's not even close
That's
to true.
That's not even close to true.
Just to give you a little bit of an idea, so in the United States, for example, 94% of terrorist attacks carried out in the United States between the years of 1980 to 2005 were done by non-Muslims.
Nope.
A lot of them were environmental groups. A lot of them were animal rights groups, even.
Right.
A lot of them do, because, you know, if you do a little arson, that counts as a terrorism.
Get a little arson. You know? Get a little arson out.
So Alex likes to talk about Europe, too.
If you do a little arson.
Mm-hmm. He talks about how, like, all these attacks are being carried out in Europe.
Of course.
This. So there have been 1,000 terrorist attacks in Europe in the last 5 years when this article was written. And less than 2% were carried out throughout the entirety of Europe by Muslims.
Of course.
So, I mean, if you want to go worldwide and say, like, you know, Muslims fighting off our shit in other countries are acts of terrorism.
See, that's,
you get into real murky territory.
That's the thing. One of the big problems with terrorism is that people use it as a stopgap or a catch-all.
Right.
When terrorism is very specific, it is a group of people or a person doing a relatively small thing with a big footprint in order to influence government policy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and the thing is, the Charleston shooting was not terrorism. It wasn't. It was a dude who wanted to cause a race war.
There's political implications to it, but yeah.
Absolutely. But he wasn't trying to influence the government into doing that.
No,
he was trying to influence white people into doing
it. It's this weird disconnect between, like, there is that political terrorism, but then there is just also trying to strike fear into everybody.
There's definitely that.
So I don't know. I think...
But that's an execution.
I agree with your point. Look, it's silly, I think, it to include in your, cause Alex doesn't care about things. Like,
yeah, why are we even pretending?
Well, Alex only really cares about things that are being done against the West.
Right.
So if we include United States and Europe into that, the attacks that are done by Muslims are
infinitesimal.
Less than 6% in the United States, less than 2% in Europe. And then if you want to talk about what is actually terrorism in the rest of the world, does Alex care if they do stuff to each other?
Do we have any Australian terrorists?
I don't know. There was that one guy. You know who I'm talking about.
That is a vague response.
You know who I'm talking about. He had a knife.
He did have a knife?
It wasn't a knife.
I didn't have a knife.
It was Paul Hogan.
Well, the crocodile hunter did strike fear in the hearts of crocodiles.
There's no doubt about that. So, I mean, look, I don't know. It's a really complicated issue to discuss, but I know Alex's statistics are wrong.
Yeah.
I know that.
Whatever it is he says that's lies, we are trying to make sense of.
So he's saying that 90% of the world's terrorism is all Muslims.
Which is bananas.
And the rest of it is just people looking to get ransoms. And stuff like that. It's like kidnappings in Brazil and shit. But then you have to say that even if you are saying that, you're not taking into account all those environmental and animal rights groups that are burning shit down.
Which he should be happy to pile on with.
Sure, this is like that cat sanctuary.
Yeah. Just come on and throw him on there.
Why not?
It's Muslims and Muslim sympathizers, which, as we know, are big fans of the environment.
Yeah.
And animals.
Yep.
They love them.
Yep. So he's saying that's
all evil.
He's saying that that's all of what terrorism is, but some people will try and make a caveat.
They'll point towards Oklahoma City. That's come out in mainstream news. Was as phony as a $3 bill. Totally set up. Southern Poverty Law Center running the white supremacist compound.
It's not true.
All right, dude.
It has not come out in mainstream news. I did find an article in World News Daily that had no sourcing about this.
What is World News Daily?
We've come up with a bunch of...
Yeah, is it?
Yeah, it's a blog, though. It doesn't have a cool, angry Texan doing a radio show with it. So,
gotta get more popular, man.
It's where Jerome Corsi used to work before he defected to InfoWars.
Jesus Christ.
So
it's got great credibility.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's like Zero Hedge. Yeah. You know, it's in that world.
Okay.
So
I don't know what Zero Hedge is.
It's like World News Daily.
Okay.
So I found an article about it on there that had no evidence and no links to anything else.
Of course.
There was a claim of a secret FBI memo. But it didn't link to that. It didn't have any.
Well, it was secret.
Well, but it was apparently leaked or whatever. It didn't have a link to it. It didn't show a copy of it. It just claimed that it existed. The only thing I was able to find was apparently the place, the white supremacist group that Timothy McVeigh was involved with was called Elohim City. And apparently the Southern Poverty Law Center did have a mole inside.
Really?
Yeah. They had infiltrated the group and that's how they got a lot of information about the group. So that part is kind of true in as much as they had someone who was doing research.
Inside.
Now, there's no reason to believe that this person in any way influenced Timothy McVeigh to do things that he was already prone to do based on statements he'd been making for the last 10 goddamn years before that.
Right.
There's also no reason to believe that this mole within Elohim City would have had any foreknowledge of Timothy McVeigh's plan. Because even if you have a white supremacist group, there's no indication that you'd just be like at an open meeting being like, I'm going to blow up the Murrah building. You know, that seems kind of clunky. You can't assume that.
Hey guys, I'm a totally cool white supremacist. You guys like blowing shit up? I like blowing shit up. When are we going to plan to blow shit up?
Let me tell you one thing I know about people who are involved in these sorts of fringe groups. One of the trends that runs through all of them is a certain amount of paranoia. A lot of them have good reason to believe that anybody in that group could be a government mole.
Yeah.
Because it might be.
It's a good idea to get a mole in these.
Yeah. Right. You gotta know.
Cause these are basically like.
They're terrorist groups.
Yeah, exactly. You know how you want intel? Alex, you know how you want intel on what a terrorist group in Iraq is doing? So do we, but also on the ones in the United States.
They're sleeper cells here, essentially. They are that which you are afraid of.
Right.
So, look, it's so dumb. It's making stuff up out of whole cloth. So, I don't know. Anyway, we got one more clip of the shark jump, and in this one, so there's a
wait. So what was so the
shark jump is ban all Muslims?
Yes.
Yeah.
But then he did go on after that. Now that's not true.
Right.
I don't believe that. What I do believe is we should ban most Muslims. Like, how did he think that's a shark jump?
Again, I don't get where he thinks satire and reality, where the line is, where sincerity falls on that spectrum. I have no idea, but I know that what he means is that I'm going to say that I call for the banning of all Muslim symbols, the closing of all mosques, the deportation of all Muslims, and then people will take that out of context.
Right. They won't point out that afterwards I said,
right,
I'm not saying that seriously.
Or immediately before it I said, right, I'm going to fuck with people.
Exactly.
So there's a logical form of like sort of dealing with arguments called reducto ad absurdum. And that's where you take someone's argument and you point out an example of what their logic implies that turns it into absurdity.
Yeah.
It's Italian for, or Latin for, reduce to absurdity.
Yeah.
Alex Jones in this next clip accidentally does that to his own fake argument.
Okay.
So this is actually a real treat.
Let's jump this shark.
But separate from that, this is the logic. This is what they're pushing. And so, if one man killing nine people, one degenerate white person who couldn't even get the Klan to follow him, committed that heinous act, then, ladies and gentlemen, we have to remove the Confederate flag next to the American flag. Now they're calling to remove Mount Rushmore.
Again, that's
you
Mark
know
Dice
what?
Shit. It's all Mark Dice.
Let's remove every symbol somebody uses in a wrong way. If somebody runs over somebody with a Ford truck, I want Ford to change its symbol, change its name, and I want, by law, every Ford symbol removed, and if you don't, $10,000 fine. And there have been people that have used Chevy cars to kill people in crowds. I want Chevy banned.
So now, that is a stupid application of his logic.
Yeah.
It unfortunately isn't at all related to the logic of people who want the Confederate flag taken out of state buildings. It doesn't work at all. The only thing that him making this stupid fake argument about Chevy trucks have been used to mow down people, so ban Chevy trucks, that only hurts your fake argument. It only shows how different that is from anything anybody else is saying.
Yeah.
So he has just fucking thrown a javelin through his argument.
Yeah, he might as well have been like, oh, well, somebody from Iran came over here and committed a terrorist act, so we should ban all people from Iran from coming into the United States.
Wait, I think he is saying that now.
Oh, is he saying that now? That's odd.
He might be in 2017.
It's a direct one-to-one comparison?
Yeah. It turns out that might be actually, like, all this stuff where he's claiming he's jumping the shark might be what he actually believes.
It does seem like that, right?
Yeah, it does feel that way. He's really careful to try, like, over the next couple episodes, he is like, now what I did was you know what? It didn't work the way he wanted it to.
Of course not.
I don't think anyone picked up on it.
No.
No one was like, oh, we got to report on this. If he did it today, people would be fucking talking about it. But 2015, people didn't care nearly
as much. But even then, if he did it today, people would be talking about how dumb he is.
Yeah.
Not for saying we should ban all Muslim symbols, but for saying, I am going to do this as a lie,
yeah,
then lie, and then I'm going to tell you that I was lying about it.
Well, actually, knowing Media Matters and the way they operate, I bet they would fall for it.
I think you're...
Well, that episode where they'll fill your hand yelling at Adam Schiff, they didn't talk about how he's clearly drunk on that episode.
Okay.
They aren't the best at picking up all the context of what's going on.
That's true.
But they mean well. I'm not trying to shit on them.
Right.
So
we've already done that.
The shark has been jumped, Jordan.
It got jumped.
So he ends this episode with an interview.
He should end it with, "Hey!" and some double guns.
Yeah. Yeah. Which he actually has in studio. So
I meant finger guns.
He ends the episode with an interview with a pastor whose name escapes me. It doesn't matter. It's just about how the Confederacy was pretty cool.
Oh no.
But he does say this, the pastor, and this is where he loses all of his credibility.
There has never been a civilization in the history of the world that has officially embraced, promoted, and legitimized the homosexual lifestyle that has survived. That is simply a matter of historical record.
Let me actually use, let me use a reducto ad absurdum argument against his. I will do it in real time. No cultures that didn't have Wii, didn't have Nintendo Wiis, have all not survived. There we go. It's stupid. It's pointless.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. You can't, you can't imply causation between accepting homosexual lifestyles.
Why did the Aztecs fade away?
Butt fucking.
Didn't have Wiis.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
Because Wiis have properties. I got nothing.
Yeah.
It's too, no. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's just like saying all of the cultures who aren't alive now aren't alive now for any reason.
Right, but it's gays.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is like, hey, buddy, there are a lot of civilizations that didn't formally recognize homosexuality, and they don't exist anymore either.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
And, you know, Spartans fucked a lot.
They did.
In the butt.
Yep, there was a bit of that.
Yeah.
Like, you understand,
and though, they actually did embrace it pretty heavily. It was
they had weird ideas about it.
Well, yeah. Well, it wasn't
gay.
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't like we're in a loving relationship. No. It was like a teaching thing.
In Athens, it was more teacherly based.
Exactly.
That was more like if you were a teacher and you had a pupil, you could fuck.
Yeah.
But it was based on respect and that sort of thing.
I don't understand
that. With Spartans, there was a lot of like soldiers fucking each other. There was stuff like that. And it was more like, we're so manly, we're going to fuck. As I recall.
There's nothing manlier than fucking another dude.
As I recall, there's some stuff in Viking history about that too.
Yeah.
You get
a bunch of dudes together in a small enclosed enough space, sooner or later they're gonna fuck.
Especially if you're out on a boat forever.
I feel
silly bringing the like Norse shit into it because I don't really know all that much about it. But be that as it may, I mean, you could pick any 100 things about our modern culture that exists and be like, well, you know, past civilizations didn't have this or did have this. It's fucking dumb. Anyway. This guy's an asshole. So we have a very short way to go to get through the rest of this, the rest of the time, because the last couple episodes in our stretch to July 21st are terrible.
Okay.
He jumped the shark and he fucking did not get back up.
Okay.
He crashed on that landing. The 19th, because the 18th is Saturday, so there's no show. 19th, he does a Sunday show, and it's mostly about how the British nobility are Nazis. And about how a picture of the queen when she was young, a hiling Hitler, came out, and like he's been vindicated on everything he's always said.
Of course.
And Mancow sent him a congratulatory
text. For somebody who's always being vindicated, he sure feels the need to say he's being vindicated all the time.
And to do whole shows about it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of dumb, and I don't really care. I don't really particularly, I'm not all that interested in his feelings about the British nobility. You know, they're a mess. But we get to the 20th. We get to Monday. Talks more about British nobility. And the show's boring, but he does say this. There's one clip worth listening to here, and it's this one.
In high school, we'd go to the beach.
Oh, no. Personal history.
And I think
love
it's what
it
separated the boys from the men. Almost all the guys would be scared to go skinny dipping with the cheerleaders. I should tell these stories. I feel like I'm ready to go. And, of course, the only thing you really had to worry about out in the Gulf of Mexico at night was not so much sharks. They're out there, but you got a better chance by being run over by an elephant than bitten by a shark is the jellyfish.
Jellyfish will get you. Yep. He skinny dipped with the babes. And that's what separates the boys from the men. Is back then, he wasn't afraid to skinny dip with the ladies. So it's his personal history mixed with even dumb masculine ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not true.
I believe it's probably true.
I don't think it's true at all.
I think it's true.
Okay.
Well, not his assessment, but the fact of him skinny dipping with cheerleaders. I believe that.
Maybe. No,
you've
seen
those fucking pictures of him from when he was younger. He was swole as fuck.
Okay.
He was built like a brick shithouse, this guy. He was.
All right.
He was fit when he was younger.
I don't like the way you're talking about
him right
now.
He was also crazy.
It's very disconcerting.
He was a bad kid.
It's very Spartan of you.
He was a bad.
You know what I'm saying?
He was a bad kid who got into a ton of fights, but also was traditionally attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see him being one of these bad boys who goes skinny dipping with girls. And if he's fucking like 150 girls before he's 16.
But that's
16,
not true either.
No, but we have to live inside his fantasy.
Okay.
I believe he probably did have sex with a couple people before he was 16. But be that as it may, unimportant. it's more important that Alex is like, this is what bravery is. Skinny dipping with girls when you're young.
Yeah.
I skinny dipped. I don't give a shit. I don't think it was brave of me. Anyway, we move on to the July 21st episode where we will end our investigation.
Okay.
Again, no more comes up about Trump, so the actual investigation is kind of over. But he does get back into this whole episode mostly on the 21st. There's two narratives that he's spinning. One, we're not going to talk about at all. I'll talk about it, but we don't have any clips. Alex is furious.
This is a big new all over again.
Alex is furious that they don't let army recruiters carry guns. There's like army recruitment centers and they don't have it's after the Chattanooga shooting.
Right.
Where a guy shot, some military people. And so Alex is extrapolating that. And so Joe Biggs is on the scene at the just south of Austin Army Recruitment Center.
Ooh.
With a team of patriots with guns guarding the place.
No.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. So Joe.
These are LARPers.
Basically. Yeah. So Joe Biggs is out there. He does a report. His Skype is terrible. It breaks up over and over again. And he's just like, hey, man, I'm out here. Got my guns. Going to protect these people. I have some experience with Army recruiters because I don't know if it's changed. I certainly hope it has. But when I was in high school, the Army recruiters were in your schools.
Yeah. Oh, they were in my school, too.
They were there, and their whole goal was to manipulate you into signing up.
They were door-to-door salesmen, basically.
Yeah. Our guy was super cool. Because we were kids and we didn't know any better that he was trying to get us into the army.
Right.
He would do James Brown impressions. He would dance.
Oh, no.
He was awesome. He seemed so cool. But as time went on, you start to realize, why does he keep asking me what my future plans are?
Yeah.
This is weird. I had a couple friends who fell for it. Ended up signing up. I don't think any died. Should look into that.
Nah.
So, I don't care all that much about army recruiters because it isn't really the benign thing of like, oh, you want to sign up, so you go sign up.
No, they're salesmen.
Yeah, there is a manipulative game that they're playing in order to trick people into signing up.
If you have commercials for the Navy, like join the Navy,
It's absurd to think that they don't get bonuses for signing people up. It's absurd to think that there isn't quotas that they are supposed to reach.
Yep.
So, they have a vested interest in kids signing away their future. So I don't want to talk about that because I don't really give a shit and it's Joe Biggs heavy.
Yeah.
But Alex does say one thing that's really funny. I wish I would have pulled this quote, but he says, Joe Biggs is not a man to make shit up. Flash forward to Joe Biggs getting fired for reporting on Pizzagate. So the other narrative of the show, which takes up most of it, is these Planned Parenthood videos. He gets back to them and he says some fucking wild stuff about them. Here's the first clip.
And when we're not doing it at the Capitol, when there's Christians just praying, trying to ban partial birth.
So this is about his demon narrative.
Yeah.
About every time you're at an abortion protest, demons show up.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I forgot there was some context needed there.
Women in flowery colors, old, young, black, white, Hispanic, mainly white and black, mainly white, actually, start going, Satan, blah, blah. I mean, it's interdimensional, it's Satanism, it's real. Something is going on.
What?
It's someone
in every one of these videos, there's wine, caviar, lavish restaurants, I love Lamborghinis, dead babies, and then MSNBC's like, it's so liberal, oh yeah.
So there we go with more classism. But then secondly, he's talking about the Lamborghinis, and this is something that's important to bring up. It's based on the deceptive editing of the videos.
Uh-huh.
There's one lady who's having a conversation with someone about, setting up a relationship where this fake research center could get tissue samples.
Right.
Every single time that they talk about intact samples, the people making the video want you to believe that what they're talking about is a full baby.
Yeah.
And that's not what they're talking about.
Of course not.
They're talking about like an intact liver or an intact organ.
Yeah.
Something
of
like that. Which is well within the legal situation. And that is what they're talking about.
And they should use the whole baby.
Sure. Like the buffalo.
Exactly.
So the other thing is this Lamborghini thing. There's a lady talking and she's clearly talking to the waiter. And it's clearly What do you want?
Lame.
I want a Lamborghini.
Lame.
Yeah, it's an old lady. She's making a lame waiter
lame.
Joke.
Lame. Right. I mean that. No. I mean the editing of that.
I think both.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a good point.
So Alex tries to make the claim that they're buying Lamborghinis based on these baby monies and stuff like that.
Right.
And I just feel the need to clarify. I mean, I watched all these videos today.
Yeah.
Just in preparation, and it's so clear that this is a fucking manipulative cut, and that she's not talking to the camera.
Of course not.
So here we go.
Oh yeah, Caitlyn Jenner. Oh, we got the moral high ground.
Sure,
God's
let's throw that
be a
one
girl.
In there.
I mean, it's
while
just,
we're on it.
It's crazy. These people are demons. They just appear and start crawling out of trash cans. One guy ran and hid in a dumpster. I mean, they're like.
He might have been Oscar the Grinch. That's not really demonic as much as it is hobo or Sesame Street. So I don't. Anyway, I don't know.
Demons! And when you confront them, they'll actually just basically roll around on the ground like in Christ time, saying, we are legion! You are legion!
You saw the movie
Sick
Constantine.
Of you. Ugh!
Keanu Reeves.
It's like wearing
Chris.
The glasses, folks. I'm telling you, it's like they live. In fact, maybe I should just settle down and play that 6-minute piece that McBreen put together from They Live when we had Rowdy Piper on because, you know,
I feel like Rowdy Piper
was trying to get his buddy to put the glasses on. He won't do it. He goes, put these glasses on or start eating concrete, man. I mean, once you see it, there's no going back. Just take the red pill, people.
Another movie.
Yeah.
Do you really want to side with ghoul women over 200 bottle red wine?
Classism.
Yes.
Talking about Lamborghinis and from baby part sales.
They
I
sound
mean,
like a lot of
really
more fun than you.
You want that on your conscience. I don't even know if I can do the show at this point. I just.
Oh my God.
What a douche.
Yeah, come on.
You know why I don't like it when the cops pull me over and give me a ticket? It's not that I'm mad they're giving me a ticket for speeding. I shouldn't be speeding.
What?
It's dangerous. It's not good. I get we gotta have some law and order.
Happening?
It's that they'll be. Is there a reason you were speeding 10 miles over the speed limit? Like, is there a reason you're not arresting people selling baby parts?
Well, yeah, because...
because it's not illegal!
And it's not what's happening. It's not that they're selling baby
they're
parts.
They're not selling baby parts!
It's so crazy. And that whole thing, like, do you want to side with these evil women? Like, well, I mean, based on the truth, yes, because they're not evil.
Well, also, even if they were evil, they sound like a lot of fun.
I like Chianti.
Yeah, I would go to a white
like
wine
a nice,
party.
Nice red wine.
A Lamborghini? I've never driven one of those.
Well, she doesn't have one. She clearly is telling away that she wants one.
We just want a Lamborghini.
It's so
she's aspiring. She's got ambition.
Mm-hmm. There is a great moment that again I didn't cut this clip just because of time constraints, but Alex says. Defending Planned Parenthood when these videos come out is going to blow back on you. And it's so ironic because I don't know. I can't say for certain. We'll find out as this investigation goes on, but I guarantee he never is like, I'm sorry that I reported this.
Of course not.
I know that it was manipulative. I'm still against abortion, which would be the respectable thing to do. If he was like, I'm against abortion, I have a principle that even up to the first trimester, I don't think it's okay. I believe it's a human. If he were to say that, and he's like, I'm sorry. These videos were manipulative. It was propaganda. I fell for it. I'm sorry.
Mm.
If he were to say that, I would respect the hell out of it. And I'd be like, it's okay.
I don't think any conservative outlet has said that.
Certainly a lot of people in the House and Senate had to.
Yeah. Well, that's true.
When they did investigations.
That's true. They did. But I don't think the opinion / news media.
No.
For the conservative, propaganda machine ever was like, well, guys, we got it wrong. And I'm pretty certain that Fox News isn't reporting too much on the trial of those guys.
No. Much like Hannity is not going to apologize for Seth Rich shit.
Of course.
Eventually.
Not.
So he gets into this next clip is a bit more about the Planned Parenthood stuff, but what's important here is the video is a lie. The videos that he's talking about are lies.
Right.
Now he's going to lie about the lie. He's going to, he's going to editorialize and add things that aren't in those videos in order to grow the demonicness of it or the villainy of it.
Uh-huh.
So even if he's just reporting on the video, that is reporting on a lie. This is lying about a lie.
Right.
That's fascinating to me. That's like next level propaganda.
Oh, well, when you multiply negative two by negative two, you wind up getting positive four. So
that tracks.
Yep.
Trendy women lisping, driving brand new Mercedes, drinking 200 bottle red wine, classism, talking and smacking. And you're like, let me try not to chop them up in too big a pieces because we get all the goodies out of And they start like going, and just kind of thrusting her,
That's what he sounds like when he fucks.
Like they're Amy Winehouse singing some blues jazz riff. But you're not on stage turning on a bunch of men. You're a sick freak. Talking about baby parts. It's not like you're in front of your husband in the bedroom. You're talking about dead body parts and they're just wiggling around in their chair. Oh,
wait,
I can't
what?
Handle it anymore. I'm about to throw up. I actually just said throw up my throat. I want to wipe from these people.
Oh, God.
I don't like them.
This is why you're not in movies.
You understand? They're coming.
You're a terrible actor.
Jordan, I'm sorry. I have to go back because, look, you're right. You're right.
I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
You're right to yell, but we've got to get a clean take of what happens after he fakes throwing up because it's so funny. He's so dumb. Like, first of all, the lie on the lie, too, is these women aren't squirming around and acting like they're sexually excited.
Yeah, I don't know what it is he's fucking talking
about.
He's
trying to weave his narrative that he has built up in the past.
They're people, demons. It turns them on.
People who are pro-abortion have some sort of a sexualized thing about killing babies.
Yeah.
It's all nonsense, but he's trying to make this lie match up with his pre-existing lie, and it doesn't work. If you watch the videos, that doesn't match up at all.
No.
Also, he says that they are driving Lamborghinis. The lady says she wants a Lamborghini. There's no indication that she has one.
Right.
And who cares if they're drinking wine, you asshole? Anyway, here we go.
Hey, real Americans drink Pabst.
All right, fair enough. I kind of agree with that.
Oh, I can't handle it anymore. I'm about to throw up. I actually just said throw up in my throat. I want away from these people. I don't like them. They say our kids belong to them. You understand? They're coming. They're coming for us. God, I can't stand them. They're dangerous.
Yeah.
They're even uncool.
They're so uncool.
They're so uncool.
So at the end of this show, he has, like I said, he does more of this Joe Biggs stuff.
Right.
He says more bullshit about Planned Parenthood stuff, but I think we've gotten all we're going to get out of that.
Yeah.
Then he has the on-air debut of his 12-year-old son, Rex Jones.
No.
He does a admirable book report, and I don't want to make fun of him again because he's a child.
Was it on Zbigniew New?
No, it was about GMO.
Oh, okay. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get mad. I'm going to get mad.
Because I have sympathies for him because he doesn't know any better.
Uh-huh.
I think he did a great job for a 12-year-old doing a news report.
Okay.
I know people in high school in my broadcast production class that did way worse stories than he did.
Under way less pressure.
But he also had all the InfoWars money and team behind him.
Right.
I'm sure he didn't edit it himself.
I'm sure he did.
He did a fine job. But also, it's...
His dad forced him to edit it himself.
It's really, really fucked up.
You won't get your peas until you finish this!
It's really, really, really fucked up the way Alex does this.
Uh-huh.
He has Rex on, and he's talking about how he's going to be even greater than him in the InfoWar. And it's really putting a lot of pressure on a 12-year-old who's
everything the light touches.
What is 12? That's like 5th, 6th grade?
Sure.
That's a lot of pressure to know about globalists.
Yeah, well, if your voice hasn't even changed and you're already being primed to fight the globalists, man, you got a big head start.
So Alex plays his report, and before that, he has him sitting in studio, and he does the, like, you're going to be greater than even me, you're a sharp kid, I love you so much, calls him sweetheart. It's very weird. And it's very weird, especially considering he now doesn't have custody. But be that as it may,
again, whether or not he's a good dad, he's a fucking lunatic.
Before he intros Rex, he has him sitting there while he does an ad.
No.
So Rex is sitting at the desk.
No, Rex is sitting there. That's why you had me write Super Male Vitality down.
I did.
Rex is sitting there looking over at his dad selling boner medication.
It's not quite the way you think it's going to go.
Oh, no.
But you did get it, that it is has to do with super vitality.
Is he going to say something like, that's how we got you, Rex? Because if he does, that's going to creep me out a lot.
No, because that I don't think I would have cut out. I think that would be
you
like...
You would have let that one in. Okay.
No, this actually put the mic down, because this accidentally might be the most progressive Alex Jones has ever been, which is really just a sell product.
I'm going to give you a little news flash. The only thing different about Super Female Vitality is it has frisky goat weed. It has a different name, corny goat weed. It's got a scientific name, and it's more of an aphrodisiac. It has all the same stuff the male stuff has in it, and it does some other things to your body, not just the libido. But if Super Female, quite frankly, is the formula I like best, even more than Super Male, but group debates that with me. It's different for everybody. And they go, Alex, it's not too good if you say you take Female Vitality on air. Whatever.
Whoa, Alex Jones, welcome to the party.
That's like, it doesn't matter if I take male or female super. It's all bullshit anyways.
We gendered these herbs.
Yeah,
I don't know why we did
that. There's no point in doing it.
Maybe he could learn a lesson from that.
Yeah.
Maybe he could
Stop calling them male and female and instead let them choose what they want to be.
These horny herbs.
Yeah.
It's got horny goat weed in it. I sell supplements on my website that you could buy in a truck stop bathroom. It's the only place I've seen fucking horny goat weed sold. Out of those condom dispensers at a fucking gas station.
It'll get you going. That's why they call it horny goat weed. Get it?
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, that brings us to the end of July 21st and thus the end of our part 4 of our investigation of what happened to Alex Jones. So far, we see little evolution in his feelings towards Donald Trump, except to say that maybe someone
told him... He loves some bigotry.
He does love that, and maybe someone told him to stop talking about his mob ties.
Right.
I didn't speculate about that earlier, but I might as well hear at the end. The stuff that he was saying about Trump before this was basically vague accusations of crimes.
Yeah.
So there's a decent chance someone was like, dude, you gotta stop that.
In not necessarily in nefarious ways, but just like,
or
hey,
possibly
this dude,
nefarious ways.
It could be.
Yeah.
But it could also just be somebody being like,
yeah,
hey, that is
you
something you could be sued for.
We know his lawyers aren't that good.
That's a good point.
So he might have had someone who touched him and was like, hey, you gotta, you know, calm down on that.
Right.
So he decided he's not going to attack Trump anymore. But even in that speech, he still says he doesn't trust him and thinks he's going to betray everyone.
Yeah.
So, there's no evolution for the rest of the time, but fuck was that shark jumping fun. That was insanity. That was complete nonsense. And then beyond that, what else do we have? Oh, Alex is an idiot and he believes propaganda about Planned Parenthood.
I just love the abortion protesters. He literally, and not in a figurative way, like he described like Hillary Clinton as a demon and...
Yeah.
And, you know, smells like sulfur as a way of describing, you know, all of this stuff.
Flies land on it.
Yeah. He's literally saying it is something interdimensional.
Yeah.
And that at these abortion protests,
they appear.
They fucking appear out of the ground. And if you confront them, they will contort on the ground saying, we are legion.
Yep. And they are legion. And he's sick of them. Yeah.
Makes him throw up a little bit.
Bah.
Bah. I just threw up my mouth a little bit.
Bah.
That was so terrible.
That was real bad.
That was really bad.
But it's one of
He's got to take an acting class.
It's one of the few times that I've been listening to the show and I legitimately like blurt laughed. Like, you asshole. You are such an asshole. I was like,
come on, man. Use sense memory. Use something.
Yeah.
Take an acting class.
Yeah. So, if you'd like to, you can find us on the internet.
At knowledgefight.com.
Correct. And we'll be back soon with another installment of this investigation. Hope it picks up. We are getting close to August, where the first debate happens.
Right.
So we'll see. Again, Roger Stone has not shown up yet.
Right.
Steve Pachenik is not there. I actually want to make this clear.
What?
I remember that on our last episode, we didn't spell this out enough. We danced around it a little bit. And... let me see if I can find the best way to say this. Alex needs to be lied to in order to get on board with Trump whole hog because
yes.
of the things he knows about him and the lack of trust.
Right.
He knows about these connections that he has to mobs. He knows about Russia connections X, Y, and Z. So in order for him to get on board, what we said is he needs another compelling thing, which we speculated would be this culture war stuff.
Uh-huh.
I regret that I didn't point out that that's Steve Pachenik's role in the whole con. Steve Pachenik is there to give the Russia didn't hack this stuff. It was patriots within our government.
Okay.
So Steve Pachenik is there functionally as the cover for the lies that Roger Stone is going to tell him.
Okay.
That's what I think.
All right.
But it's probably more likely it's just bigotry.
Yeah. Everything could be nefarious, but it could also just be bigotry.
The reason that I think it has to be nefarious.
Like the entirety of American history.
True. The reason I think it has to be nefarious, though, is it's such a wild coincidence that all of these people would change their mind in exactly the same way at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll find out on the
Trump
next.
Trump did unite us.
Yeah, he's a uniter.
Well, he united them.
Yeah. Yeah. Bah. I just threw up in my mouth.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Bah.
I believed it.
Bah.
If you can also follow us on Twitter.
If you don't want to throw up in your mouth, check out our Twitter. At @knowledge_fight.
Look us up on iTunes. Leave reviews. That's nice.
Yeah,
send
please.
Us more emails that are really filled with positive things about Dan and just hateful shit about me. I read it, Brian. I know what's up.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, and beyond that, if you'd like to donate to the show, if you'd like to become a policy wonk, you can. There's a button on knowledgefight.com that says support the show. You can check that out. Give us money.
Yes, please.
Other than that, I don't know, man. The fourth hour is back.
Which means Rappaport still lives.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.